Koinonia, a place of encounter with the Holy Spirit and transformation by the principles of God's kingdom.
Hallelujah. Would you lift your hands to Jesus and give him all the praise? I'll follow. Where you lead me, I will follow. Someone lift your hands and make it a declaration of faith. Where you lead me, I will follow. Where you lead, I will follow. I trust you enough to follow. I trust you enough to risk and to stake my life at your word. Lift your voice and make it a declaration of faith. Some trust in horses, others trust in chariots, others trust in ideas, but we trust in the name of our Lord. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If he has spoken, he has the power to make it good. Koinonia Global, lift your hands, lift your voices, and just bless this God of wonders, the mighty God, the doer of miracles, the lifter of men, the helper of men, lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David.
Glory to the Lion of Judah. Glory to the Lion of Judah.
Very simple song.
Says glory to the Lion of Judah. Glory to the Lion of Judah. He has prevailed over death, hell, and the grave. The Lamb that was slain is the Lion who reigns.
One more time.
He has prevailed over death, hell, and the grave. The Lamb that was slain is the Lion who reigns.
Help me be.
Lift up your voice, make a joyful noise. For in Christ we win, in Christ we rejoice.
Everybody, glory, sing.
Glory to the Lion of Judah.
Unto Jesus, the Lamb
glory
that was slain. Sing glory, glory,
glory.
Sabrato, sabrata, barato, sabadados.
Glory to the Lion of Judah. We give the glory to the Lion of Judah.
He has prevailed over death, hell, and the grave. The Lamb that was slain is the Lion who reigns.
He has prevailed over death, hell, and the grave. The Lamb that was slain is the Lion who reigns. Glory to the Lion of Judah. Glory to the Lion of Judah.
As the song ringing in my spirit.
Glory to the Lion of Judah.
Very simple song.
Glory to the Lion of Judah.
One more time.
Glory to the Lion of Judah. Glory to the Lion of Judah.
The Bible says, I wept, for no man was worthy to open the book and unlock the scroll. And the elder tapped me and said, weep not. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed. Worthy to open the book, worthy to unlock the scroll. He says, I beheld and I saw a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. Can we hail the Lion? Can we hail the root of Jesse, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, from Atlanta to the ends of the earth? Give him praise. Give him glory. In the name of Jesus, the Son of the Living God, on behalf of Jesus Christ, the head of the church and the apostle over this vision, I welcome you to our Sunday Koinonia service from Atlanta, Georgia to the ends of the earth. Can we give them a big God bless you? Show the world how you celebrate Jesus in Atlanta. Come on. Glory, glory, glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Can we give our global family following online a big God bless you? Let them know they are part of the service. Amen. And I'll let you do something real quick and then we'll be seated. Can you walk to 10 people, give them a hug, greet them, prophesy, just do something good. Let's go. 10 people. God bless you. Good to see you. Abuja, are you doing the same? Canada, UK, all our expressions, viewing centers. Just give someone a big hug. Give him some show of love. It's good to see you in church. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Let us go to the house of the Lord. Let us go to the house of the Lord. Let us go to the house of the Lord. Now clap your hands, O ye people, and shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. This is Koinonia. Amen. Please, you may be seated. The Lord bless you. It's good to be in church. And I welcome everyone truly, particularly for those who flew from outside of Atlanta, Georgia to be here, and those who even came from outside of America. May the Lord bless you. It's great to do church with you this afternoon in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I'd like you to make three very powerful declarations. Mean them from your heart. Say them sincerely. Number one, shout, say, God can be trusted. No, you're saying that over your life. You're not just repeating after me. You're prophesying over your destiny. Say, God can be trusted. You're not saying it like you believe. Shout, God can be trusted. Don't mind the mountains before you. Don't mind the fears. Don't mind the doubts. Shout, God can be trusted. Or should I sing it for you? That God is able to do just what He says He will do. He's gonna fulfill every promise to you. Don't give up on God, 'cause He won't give up on you. Say,
He's able.
Hey, oh, say, just what He says He will do. And He's gonna fulfill every promise to you. Prophesy to yourself. Don't give up on God. Praise the name of the Lord. Shout, God can be trusted. Look your mountains to the face and speak like a prophet over your destiny. God can be trusted. I may not see wind, I may not see rain, but God can be trusted over my destiny, over my finances, over my children, over my ministry. He is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man to repent. If he has said it, he has the power to make it good. God can be trusted. Hallelujah. Declaration number two. The word is working for me. Not the word is working. The word is working for me. Is someone ready to declare that? Say, in the name of Jesus, I decree and declare, the word is working for me.
The word is working for me in the name of Jesus Christ. I believe his word is working for me by the power of the Holy Ghost. Hey, 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 hey. Listen, everybody. I decree and I declare what the word says over me. I prophesy and I establish every word spoken to me.
One more time.
I decree and I declare what the word says over me. I prophesy and I establish every word.
Are you ready now?
Say it. It will come to pass. Amen. I believe it won't fail. Amen. I believe.
Let me remind you,
the word says, I am blessed. I say, amen. The word says, I'm healed, and I say, amen. The word says, I'm free, I say, amen. The word says, I like this, I'm anointed, I say, amen. It will come to pass. Amen. 'Cause I believe it won't fail. Amen. I believe.
The word is working for me in the name of Jesus. Even though I'm surrounded by all kinds of negative situations, I declare that the word is working for me. Who believes that? Listen, this is part of the service. God gave me these prophetic words while I sat there, and he said, before you preach, before you teach, he said, declare these words and let the people declare it over themselves. Number one is that God can be trusted. Number two is that his word is working. It doesn't matter what happens. The Bible says our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, it worketh in us a far more eternal weight of glory. It says, while we look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen, not unreal, unseen. The breakthrough may be unseen, but it is real. It says, for the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Let me tell you, even if you are surrounded by all kinds of negative situations, let me prophesy over you.
He'll take what the enemy meant for evil. He will turn it for good.
To the believer,
turn it for good.
That's my prophecy over you.
He'll take what the enemy meant for evil and turn it for good. And turn it for good.
Join me, prophesy one time.
He'll take what the enemy meant for evil and turn it for good. Turn it for good.
I speak it over your life.
He'll take what the enemy meant for evil and turn it for good. Turn it for good.
Who is ready for declaration number three? I walk in victory and dominion. Come on now, I receive this for myself. I walk in victory and dominion. I walk in victory and dominion.
declare it over your life in the name of Jesus. All through 2026, I walk in victory and dominion. September, victory and dominion. October, victory and dominion. November, victory and dominion. December, victory and dominion. In the morning, at noon, in the evening, at night, I walk in dominion. In the country, in the city, I walk in dominion. By the power of the Holy Ghost, I am victorious. In the name of Jesus, I have the faith that overcomes. In the name of Jesus, can you make it a declaration for just 1 minute? I walk in dominion. Abuja, are you declaring? Koinonia Global, are you declaring? I walk in dominion. I walk in victory. My life is a living epistle of the wonder-working power of the Spirit, of the wisdom of the Spirit. In the name of Jesus, dominion over elemental forces, dominion over principalities and powers, dominion over time, dominion over resources. Hallelujah. You believe that? Take that down for me. You surround me with many victories. Jehovah Nissi, you're my banner. You go before me, you fight my battle. Sing his name.
Jehovah Nissi.
Let's sing it just one time.
That he surrounds us with many victories. Jehovah Nissi, you're my banner.
You go before us.
You go before me.
And fight every
you
battle.
You fight my battle.
Cause he is Jehovah
Nissi.
Father, we believe this about you. We are victorious. Yes, sir. We are victorious, overcomers, more than conquerors, in the name of Jesus. When all is said and done, I still win. When all is said and done, I still stand. When all is said and done, I still go forward. I speak that over your life. Welcome to your season of advancement. In every area of your life, advancement in spite of pain, advancement in spite of Satan, in spite of adversaries, in spite of delays, you go forward and you will meet the time required in the name of Jesus.
Jehovah needs. We call you Jehovah Nissi.
Please, you may be seated.
Jehovah Nissi.
Hallelujah. The believer in Christ is an overcomer. Challenges are not unusual. What should be unusual in your life is defeat. Challenges are not unusual. Hallelujah. He said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the midst. Sometimes he doesn't drive them. They need to see that he is faithful. So, when God does not drive adversaries, do not fear. Sometimes Haman needs to join the feast. Not because he's not an adversary, but he needs to witness that God himself is a lifter of men. So when it looks like Haman is still at the corridors of power, don't be threatened. Esther, his presence is still a strategy. In the name of Jesus Christ. Welcome to church. Let's get to the business of the word. How many of you believe the word of God? Now, let me say this to you, my dear people. If you truly believe in Jesus,
and you pay attention to the things that I teach you week in, week out, I leave you an assurance by the integrity of God's word. You will be nothing short of and nothing less than a champion in destiny. The words that I teach you are not my opinions. It would be dangerous to teach you my opinions. What you are learning, these principles are older than me. I didn't invent them. I found them. Hallelujah. Yes. You must believe in the integrity of God's word. When God's word is explained and understood and received and acted upon consistently, there is no power in existence that can stop the arrival of your results and your dominion. I say to you again, welcome to a season of unquestionable dominion. Listen to me. Your life will be a living epistle. Men will read your life like they read the Bible, and they will see that God is faithful. If they have their Bible study in the morning and they do not understand it, God will use your life to explain that scripture to them. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Please be seated. Again, we give God glory for Sound of Revival, Atlanta 2026. It was a phenomenal time. To him be all the glory. We cannot thank him enough. It was an awesome time in this place, Thursday, Friday, and now we're happy to be celebrating Jesus here on Sunday. Let's go straight to the ministry of the word. I like to teach words that are in season, and I like to teach that which builds God's people. So in order of sequence, my first assignment over you is to help you understand God and to deepen your relationship with Jesus. Please listen. My first assignment in righteousness and under God over you is to help you to know God functionally, not theoretically. The Bible says the people that do know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. John 17:3, this is life everlasting, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus whom thou hast sent. The apostle said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, that I may know him. A man can know God and the results can show. Intimacy is a reality. Men with men and men with spirits, a man can know God. That's my first assignment. Your confidence in life is based on the depth of your revelation of God. And listen to me, the God you know is the God you reveal to your world. If you are taught a weak God who is strong sometimes and weak sometimes, it will reflect your understanding and the way you behave as far as your walk with God is concerned. But if you are taught a mighty God, the one who has all power and all wisdom, it will tell in how you behave and how you conduct yourself. So my first assignment is to help you know God, to deepen your relationship with Jesus Christ. Deepen your relationship with the Holy Ghost. It's called koinonia, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the Bible says, and the fellowship. The koinonia, the participation, the sharing together of the Holy Ghost. He says, let it be with you. Number two, my second assignment is to expose you to the mysteries of the kingdom that make for a life of victory perpetually, a life of dominion and a life of triumph. It's important to be like Christ, but you must know how to function like Christ. I did say that in Canada, that there are believers who know how to live like Christ. They have been taught, but they do not know how to function like Christ. When it has to do with functioning like Christ, it is wisdom and power. It is faith, wisdom, and power. So it's my assignment to open you up to an array of kingdom principles, bodies of knowledge, spiritual truths, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. They come together And then they produce a victorious, indomitable believer. Not theoretically, practically. These are the truths that help you to tame life like you tame an animal. Yes, sir. It says, knowest thou the ordinances of heaven, and canst thou establish the dominion thereof upon the earth? Job 33 and 32. Do you know the ordinances? NIV says, do you know the laws of the heavens? And can you regulate with these laws? Give it to us. Job 38 and 33. NIV, do you know the laws of the heavens? And can you use those laws to set up God's dominion over your life and upon the earth? It takes knowledge, high level spiritual illumination. The Bible says, arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Amplified, arise from the depression and the prostration that circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new light, for the glory of the Lord is upon you. It says, darkness shall cover the earth. Is the Hebrew expression tohu wa bohu, confusion, chaos. It says, and gross darkness the people. It says, but upon you the glory of the Lord shall arise. Verse 3 says, Gentiles, my God, receive it as a prophetic word. Gentiles shall come, not to you, come to your light. And their kings, no matter how arrogant they are, they will be forced to come to the brightness of your rising. But you see, victory and dominion in the kingdom, like you've heard me teach, is not a gift. No. The capacity to walk in it is a gift, but the dynamics of walking in it is a result. It's a consequence. The grace that empowers the believer to walk in victory is a gift, came with salvation. But manifesting the experience of victory and dominion is not a gift. That is why one can have 30-fold. That's why one can have 60-fold and one can have 100-fold. Are we together? We don't have 30-fold salvation. Salvation is equal for everyone. But manifesting the riches that the salvation brings can be 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, according to your understanding and your level of engagement of the word. Who is learning? Say victory. Say triumph. Say dominion. Get used to this word. Say victory. I'm doing something to your mind. Say victory. Say triumph. Say dominion. Victory, triumph, dominion. But this happened by engaging the principles of the kingdom. Number three, my third assignment is to expose you to God's prophetic program and show you your role in fulfilling God's prophetic agenda. So it does not just stop at you gaining personal victory, because the Bible says if our hope is only in this life, we have all men most miserable. God has a program. So victory and dominion takes away the distractions from your life so that you can taste of the goodness of God and then focus to make kingdom come a reality. God has a program. God has an agenda, and you have a role to play. Say, I have a role to play in God's program. Again, say, I have a role to play. Yes. In the fulfillment of God's program, you have a role. You don't have to be a preacher. Listen to my teaching, Redefining the Great Commission. Redefining the Great Commission. It's a powerful teaching that brings a more superior perspective to the subject of the Great Commission. You may also want to listen to my teaching, Redefining the Coming Revival. We have a lot of redefinitions in our teachings, because when you have an inaccurate, a narrow or a lopsided perspective as far as kingdom thoughts are concerned, it will affect how you engage. Redefining the Coming Revival. It will not just be crusades, pact, and evangelistic campaigns. It will be a manifestation of apostolic Christians, witnesses, lights, and salts. That means revival that is coming is not limited to the pulpit. In fact, if you care, there are many messages that relate to the excelling, a very correct orientation that believers should have as far as God's program is concerned. There's an array of them. You may want to listen to my teaching, The Apostolic Christian, and then listen to a two-part series, Church and State. I think it's one of the most concise description of the believer's assignment as far as birthing territorial transformation is concerned. Church and State, part one and part two. There I teach on how to make kingdom impact beyond church walls. Are we learning? Then of course, number four, my fourth assignment, not necessarily the last, but the fourth, is to guide you so that you live a life of fulfillment and meaning. Paul said, I have fought a good fight of faith. I have finished. You can start the race, but it doesn't mean you are finished. How you start is not how you finish. The dynamics change. When an aircraft is taxiing to lift, I'm not a pilot, but I've been in that box for a long time enough to discern what happens. So it starts like it's driving, and then the law of aerodynamics kicks in. You see that now supporting the aircraft in the air is very different from what happens on land. I've had the honor of sitting at the cockpit, smiling like a pilot, even though I wasn't one, and I had no idea what was going on there. There were too many buttons. And those people were just touching all those things. I was just glad that they knew what they were doing. That was my consolation. Had no idea. I was just happy. It's very good to be in the presence of knowledge. You can imagine that risk that they were trying just like me. Hallelujah. I was happy, confident. I didn't know what they were doing, but they knew what they were doing. Praise the name of the Lord. A life of purpose and meaning. You can be victorious by any parameter, but if you do not live a life of purpose and meaning, your joy will not be full. Perhaps you may have heard me teach on the psychology of success and victory, and we learned that there are six elements that control fulfillment. Number one is security, a sense of security. Number two, a sense of variety. Number three is significance. Number four is love and acceptance. These six indices represent the highest pursuit of humans as far as psychological satisfaction is concerned. Number five is growth. And number six is impact and contribution. Apostle, repeat it again. Listen to the message. Listen slowly so that you can receive. That's not my message tonight. Hallelujah. This is the, what do you call it? Appetizer. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. So tonight I want to challenge you as we wrap up our time here, even though the teaching applies to everyone, our global family, but since we're in Atlanta, I just thought by the Spirit to bring a word that will charge our hearts. To us, this is service koinonia, but to Atlanta, this is a final word for now. And I'll be doing a very thought-provoking teaching for the time that we have. This will help you to last. It will help you to sustain results. And I title my teaching tonight, I Press. I Press. Shout that after me. Say, I Press. I want to bring you to the corridors of your next season. I want to show you how to move past current victories and then to begin to contend for what I call next level victories. Praise the name of the Lord. By the way, let me pause for a moment. So Mayor Harold Moore told me that he was not just going to come here alone, that he was going to come with the members. There was a bus. Are they here? Come on, rise. Let's celebrate them. I mean, the whole church just got a bus and they came. We love you. Come on, give them a big koinonia. God bless you. I needed to do this. Mayor Harold Moore, thank you. You and your wife, thank you. Thank you for not just coming alone, but bringing the entire membership of the church. We love you. Thank you. Love from us. Please be seated. Hallelujah. Again, shout, I press. Hallelujah. A few scriptures, Philippians chapter 3, contending for next level victories. Philippians chapter 3, we'll begin our reading from verse 13 and we'll end at 15. Philippians 3. Brethren, so he's speaking to believers. This is not an information for everyone. It's important when you read scripture, number one, understand the context. It will help you to appreciate the thoughts and the discussion. There are certain communications in scripture that is for everyone, but there's certain discussion that is a family discussion. This is one of it. He said, brethren, I count not myself, Paul is speaking to the church in Philippi, to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before me, he says, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Final verse, it says, let us therefore, us the brethren, let us therefore, as many as are mature, be thus minded. Let us therefore, that's the instruction, as many as are mature, be thus minded. So there is an orientation that every matured believer must have as far as destiny actualization and victory in the kingdom and in the spirit is concerned. It says, let us therefore, as many who are perfect or mature, be thus minded. Second scripture, Micah chapter 2 and verse 10. Micah chapter 2 and verse 10. I press. It says, arise and depart, for this is not your rest. I'll save the B part. My interest is the first part. Arise and depart. It says, for this is not your rest. Amen. So the Bible says the path of the just, if you're a Bible student, it says the path of the just is like a shining light. Proverbs 4 and verse 18. And that light should shine more and more. Say more and more. Unto the perfect day. So in God's economy and in his work with believers, we never plateau and we should never have a better yesterday. It says the path of the just, the one who is in Christ, justified by faith, should be the path of destiny, should progressively be as a shining light. And you want to understand this scripture? You have to see how the day dawns and how the sun rises, as we know, until it peaks in the afternoon, only that it should not decline. There should not be evening and night as far as your kingdom exploits are concerned. It says it goes more and more, brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. Hallelujah. There is always more, I wrote here, for the people of God, regardless our current strides, our current achievements, regardless the level of excellence and results that we presently experience and command, there is always more for the people of God. For an example, in your walk with God, no matter how high, no matter how deep, there is always more. In Revelations chapter 4 and verse 1, when you read the book of Revelations from chapter 1, John was caught up in the Isle of Patmos. And the Bible tells us that he was there for the testimony of Jesus, and he was caught up in the Isle of Patmos. He was taken to the throne room, and he had an experience to, you know, an opportunity to experience the throne room and the worship of the Lamb firsthand. And you would think that after that, in fact, he was given an opportunity to write to the seven churches which were in the then Asia Minor. Prophetically, they were words that speak to our church and our civilization today. Even though at that time, contextually, there were real seven churches that were spread across the then Asia Minor. And he said, after that, verse 4, after this, I preached a message. You may want to listen to that message. It was during, I think, Come Up Hither for UK. Or was it a workers' retreat? Come Up Hither. After this, I looked. After my achievements, after great glory, after miracle signs and wonders, after such tremendous demonstration of the wisdom and the grace of God, after Sound of Revival 2026, after Sound of Revival Liverpool, after Sound of Revival Toronto, after Sound of Revival Atlanta,
in spite and despite all of the great things, lofty things in the spirit, commendable as they are, he says, I still looked. Let me tell you, there are many people who will not be able to look further after certain levels of results. I like the way scripture puts it. It says, after this, I looked. It is easy to look when you do not have anything. But in the presence of results, in the presence of victories, success, commendations, your text messages and your all of your apps beeping with all kinds of notifications, commendations, expressions of admiration from those who look at you and model after your life. He says, after all of that, after Revelations 1, after Revelations 2, after Revelations 3, in spite of the fact that I saw the seven lampstands, I saw who was like the Son of Man, I saw the Lamb, the worship of the elders, after this, I still looked. And because I looked, it says, I saw and beheld, a door was opened in heaven. Listen to this. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking to me. And he said, come up higher or come up hither, and I will show you the things that must be after. Even in heaven, there was still room to go higher. Someone say, I'm going higher. So I'm saying all this to charge you as a foundation tonight that believers do not plateau. As far as our press to actualize our destinies, to advance the kingdom, are we together? And to deepen our walk with God is concerned. Regardless what we see, regardless the achievements, regardless the strides in the kingdom, the Bible mandates that we press, mandates that we press. Our lives and destinies, I wrote here, are likened to a race and not a single event. Please listen to this. Our lives and our destinies, according to scripture, are likened to a race and not a single event. You find that in Hebrews chapter 12 from verse 1 and 2. Our lives and destinies are likened to a race. It says, wherefore, seeing we are also encompassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us, and run with patience or perseverance. Watch this. The race. So life and destiny is called the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who ran his own race too. And he had a strategy with which he ran that race. The Bible says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of God the Father when he finished the race. So life and destiny is a race. In fact, if you look at it classically based on Paul's teaching, the Bible says, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished the race. He describes destiny. He gives it a threefold description. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished the race. Life is a race. It's not a single one-off event. The meaning of that is that you can win today or manifest victory today or excel today, but that is not the culmination of your destiny. Do you understand that now? Yes. I think it was the workers while I was talking to them. I said success can be an ingredient for failure. There are many people today who fail because they once succeeded. You would think because you had succeeded today, you would succeed every other day. Sports, athletics, you know, arts have taught us that victory today does not mean victory forever. You can win and be a champion today. Say for an example, I mean, you just finished the World Cup a month or thereabout. I used to watch football. I don't know what happened. Many things have happened, but I had a peep here and there, and I know that there were all kinds of shouts, you know. You wouldn't believe that people even sent me text messages to pray for certain. The match between this and that. I said, just, you have nothing to lose. Lend your voice. I said, no, come on. I have more serious things to pray about. Whoever wins, good luck. Whoever loses, one thing is that no player will go home without nothing. So let them live their destiny while I live out mine. Hallelujah. Amen.
But the point is, victory today does not mean victory forever. You have to learn to repeat and sustain the principles that brought today's victory, else you can win today in experience and then lose so woefully tomorrow. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Our lives and destinies are likened to a race and not a single event. Therefore, we move from one stage and one phase of kingdom exploits to another. Knowing that destiny is a race, when you cover certain grounds, you don't stop moving. For those of you who run marathon, those of you who run athletics or do whatever it is that has to do with sports related, if say you are to cover so ground, even if you go halfway, you're not where you used to be, but it does not mean you're at the finish line. You don't stop running. You don't stop moving. How many of you know that while you move, people keep cheering you? Have you ever seen any serious, say, marathon runner stop to turn, greet his neighbor and say, how are you? It's so good to see you. I'm on the race. But no. They receive the cheer and they use it to fuel their momentum, their press forward. You believe that? Hallelujah. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 9:24. Let's look at this very quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. It says, know ye not, Paul is speaking. Let's do NIV. NIV, 1 Corinthians 9:24. It says, do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? It says, with this mentality, run in such a way as to win, as to get the prize. Every time I teach on this, I give an analogy. How many of you know that when you find people, maybe they're just running for health reasons, just to enjoy themselves, you can have 100 runners to do a marathon, more than 80% of those runners know they will not finish. In fact, they don't plan to win. Have you seen that now? So it's just organized, just for fun, just as a contribution to their being healthy. Only less than 10%, and you see them running, and some know that after 5 minutes, 10 minutes, they would have made their contribution to that race. They just turn around quietly, without shame, without apology, and they say, I'm done. So the Bible says there are many runners. In this our sojourn of life and destiny, there are so many people from all walks of life, from every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. And the Bible says there are others who already have a mentality of failures and victims. They don't intend to finish. They don't intend to win. They don't intend to manifest victory. But it says your orientation must be different. It says run in such a way as to get the prize. That means you never stop until you see the finish line. I release upon you the grace of a finisher who is receiving in the name of Jesus. Regardless how far, how great, regardless the challenges or the victories, I speak over you. Koinonia, Atlanta, USA, Koinonia, Global, I decree and declare the grace of a finisher. The energy that does not plateau, does not stop, does not halt, does not stall till you win. Receive it in the name of Jesus. So run. I like how KJV puts it. It says, so run that you may obtain. Run that you may obtain. Hallelujah. Everyone is running a race. We do not stop simply because we have covered a significant milestone. We keep pressing day by day. We keep pressing until we arrive the finish line. My assignment tonight to us in the US and to our global family is to hand you a few keys. These are the keys that are responsible for helping any believer and any person who intends to finish, who intends to move from current success, current victory, to contend for the next level victory. As far as Sound of Revival 2026 is concerned, by the mercy and the grace of God, we are done. It's done and dusted. Liverpool will never happen in that manner again. It's done for 2026. Canada will never happen that way again. Done for 2026. US will not happen in this manner again. Done for 2026. Are we together now? January 2026 will never happen in your life again. It doesn't matter how good, how great, it's gone. February, same thing. March, April, May, June, July. In fact, even yesterday, it's gone. Remember, it's gone. There are a few keys that have empowered champions in life and more so in the kingdom to remain consistent, to be high flyers, to never stop, to never have a better yesterday. And I'm praying for you in the name of Jesus that as I expose you to these keys and as I hand them over to you, in the name of Jesus, may it be for you a tool, an arsenal that keeps you consistent until you finish. Look up, please. Look up, please. By reason of what I do, I build men for a living. So I jokingly was telling our dear people, someone once asked me a question and said, Apostle, if you were not a preacher, what would you have done? I said, the same thing I'm doing now. And he said, no, I don't mean ministry. I said, no, you are the one who calls what I'm doing preaching. No, preaching is a tool. I build people for a living. I build lives, I build destinies for a living. I take the weak and make them strong in the spirit. I take the downcast. So preaching is only a vehicle to get that. So if preaching were not the vehicle, there'll be many other vehicles. Except perhaps others will not be free. So thank God for preaching, isn't it? Hallelujah. Are we learning now? But my point is that through my years, little years of ministry, particularly counseling people, I think one of the most tragic events that I've seen as I talk with people is victorious people becoming failures. Victorious yesterday, but a failure today. There's nothing more hurtful and tragic to have tasted victory, to have tasted renown. It's better to have not even started, whether in ministry, whether in life. Nobody, listen, a better yesterday is a tragic experience for anyone. Our lives and destinies for many of us and many others that we know are full of stories of yesterday's victory. You hear people talking about yesterday, when I was this, when I was a champion, when I had money. No, the Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. And we were created in his image. That means it should be said for Joshua Selman, for Koinonia, for you and I. In fact, it should be more and more. Glory to glory. That as I thought Joshua Selman's yesterday was great, Koinonia's yesterday was great, but look what Jesus is doing now. Back then in Zaria, the northern part of Nigeria, when we're doing the things that we're doing, I tell you, at that level, it was remarkable kingdom strides. If we were to stop there, I would be satisfied. I was so addicted to that city. I loved the place, loved the work. I mean, we were at that level doing so well. No matter where I traveled around the world, I look forward to returning back to that place. Very modest place, not so developed, but I still liked it. Not knowing that that was only a step out of the cave. Sometimes I look at the photos and I laugh. I can't believe it was me. I can't even believe. You see that now? But there are many of you who hate to look at tomorrow because yesterday looks by far better than it. In fact, they hate to look at today. They only tell stories of yesterday. I pray for you in the name that is above all names. Your yesterday will never be better than your tomorrow. Shout amen. A receiving one, a believing one, in the name of Jesus. The path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more in ministry, more and more. That means the next time you see me, I should have grown spiritually. Greater fire, greater power, greater wisdom, a deeper understanding. It means the next time I see you, come on, Koinonia US, you should not be at this level. 10 times better by every definition. On fire, hotter, greater. Commanding greater dimensions of results. Do you believe this? Reject a life of ups and downs. Fight it. Reject it. Let me tell you, I dare to say it, regardless Satan, 10 years from now, Koinonia will still be standing, flying. 20 years from now, if Christ stands. No, I'm not one of such who believe that I will go up and come down. There may be challenges, there may be battles, but I have the full armor of Christ. I'm not just a man of God, I'm a warrior too. When it needs fight, I fight. Who is learning? Say in the name of Jesus, my today and tomorrow will always
be greater than yesterday. Say it again. Say, my today and tomorrow, I declare you will be greater than yesterday. Greater than yesterday. I know you made millions of dollars already, but there is more for the kingdom. I know you graduated with an exceptional degree with honors. Well done, but there is more. I know you bought a home already, but there is more. I know you have your green card already, but there is more. Come on, say there is more. I know you've prayed, you've fasted. I know you are beginning to do well. Ministry is working, business is working. You are gaining your footing. But to the believer who is in Christ, there is more. There is more, there is more, there is more. Greater levels of fire, greater levels of hunger, impact by the Spirit. Please be seated. There is more. Hallelujah. Champions, all champions, whether in the secular or in the kingdom, they live with this orientation that there is more. Some of the finest, the brightest people in sports, in boxing, in whatever field of art, when they are done collecting their medals or their awards, they rest for a while and get straight to prepare for the next season. Is that true? How many of you here play soccer? We call it soccer. See that, football, soccer. Well, football is that aggressive one, isn't it? Yeah. Well, anyone is still the same thing. Whether soccer, whether football, whether you hold it or kick it, the most important thing is that you are following the ball. Hallelujah. No champion rests for too long. It affects competence. Is that true? No champion rests for too long. It has an effect, a negative effect on competence. Journey with me as I show you a few keys. We're in the school of champions in the spirit. I want to show you how to be victorious perpetually, to not allow your current success limit and become a stumbling block to the next level of your success. Pray in the spirit for 1 minute. Pray in the spirit for 1 minute. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, your name is to be hallowed. Just pray. Adonai. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, my life will give you glory, Adonai. My works will sing your praises, Adonai. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, my life will give you glory, Adonai. My fruits will bring you glory, Adonai. I will not just bless you in the morning, I will bless you in the afternoon and in the evening. The fruits will be consistent. There will be fruits that abide. The name of Jesus Christ. So let's examine the keys. Please sit. It's no news to us that dominion in this kingdom at any level is a product of access to keys. Keys here refer to the mysteries or the principles of the kingdom. Matthew 13:11 says, it has been given unto you to know the mysteries. The word mysteries mean the principles of the kingdom. That if and when understood, received, and engaged consistently, will lead to a very predictable outcome. Key number one, the first prize that makes for a life of dominion consistently, regardless of seasons, If you desire to press, there is a price. If you desire next level victories to not plateau at any level of your life, the first key, are you ready, is the price for deeper levels of intimacy with God. Is the first price you must pay. The price of deeper levels of intimacy with God. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. Please give us from verse 10. The price for deeper levels of intimacy with God. The Bible says, so they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month and in the 15th year of the reign of King Asa. And they offered unto the Lord the same, at the same time, of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. Verse 12. The Bible now says, they entered into a covenant. Listen closely. They entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. Verse 14, it says, and they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice, and with shouting, with trumpets, and with cornets. Verse 15, final verse, the Bible says, and all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart, and sought him with their whole desire. The Bible says, as such, he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. Listen to me. There is a direct relationship between your intimacy with God and dominion. There is a direct relationship, a direct correlation between intimacy with God and consistency of exploits. Daniel 11 and verse 32, the B part says, but the people that do know their God, they shall be strong, and they shall do exploits. The people that do know their God, they shall be strong, and they shall do exploits. In 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse 5, let's hurry up. 2 Chronicles 26 and verse 5. 26 and verse 5. 2 Chronicles. The Bible says, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah, the Hebrew Uzziah. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had an understanding of the visions of God. If you are able to, please read as loud as you can the last line. Let's go. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Read it again. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him. Who makes men prosper? You can plant, Apollos can water, but only God gives the increase. So you cannot experience consistency of victory in ever increasing dimensions when you ignore the one who gives the victory. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I've taught us in this house that we must never tamper with the formula as far as becoming victorious is concerned. It's found in Genesis 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God. Not in the beginning, ideas. In the beginning of your life, the beginning of your business, the beginning of your parenting, the beginning of your family, the beginning of your day, the beginning of your week. Once you tamper with that formula, listen, he is only Omega if he were allowed to be Alpha. If you allow other things to be Alpha, then you want to squeeze him in your life to be Omega. No, he said, I am Alpha, then Omega. So if you allow me start your journey, then I defend whatever happens there. So many people use ideas as Alpha. Then they want to push in and squeeze in. He is merciful and he will come in. But let me tell you this. When God comes in to work with you, he does not just take it from where you left. He takes you back and corrects the pattern and becomes Alpha to that new corrected state of your work. Then he becomes Omega. Who is learning? How many of you know that when you are driving and you are going to so and so place and then you take a wrong detour and go so far, the way to get back is to return. Am I right? You return. Alpha, Omega. When he is your beginning,
The Bible says it beautifully in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. It says, in all your ways, not some. In all your ways, business, in all your ways, family, in all your ways, your job. There's nothing in your life that you should exclude God from. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Verse 7 says, be not wise in your own eyes. It says, fear the Lord and depart from evil. They looked unto him, it says, and their faces were lightened. They looked unto him. Thou will show us the path of life. The Bible says, it is in your light that we see light. Did you ever read in your Bible that except the Lord builds a house? Come on, America, talk to me. Except the Lord builds a house. It says they labor. They are not lazy people. They labor, but it will be in vain. Except the Lord watches over the city. It says the watchman watched, but in vain. It says it is vain to wake up in the morning, early in the morning, and to sleep late at night, only to eat the bread of sorrow. But God giveth his beloved sleep. Intimacy with God. And like I told our family in Canada, there's what we call in the kingdom the ordinances of intimacy. The word ordinance means the precepts that preserve intimacy. One of it is a rich, consistent, intentional, systemic prayer life. I think I said that here. Your prayer life must be rich, consistent. It must be intentional. And it must be systemic. You can't pray once in a while. Your time spent with God is of immense, inestimable value. Are we together?
More love, more power, more of you in my life. That's my prayer, Lord. More love, more power, more of you in my life.
This is a song of champions.
I want more love, more power, more of you in my life.
Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your mind, with all your heart, with not part of it, not the leftover, after you give it to other things of lesser value. What's that song again?
I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. I just want to tell you that I love you more than anything. Yes, I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. I just want to tell you that I love you more than.
I'll sing it one time. Let it enter into your spirit.
I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. I just want to tell you that I love you more than anything.
Let me tell you this. There is a realm with God where only lovers get to. There is a dimension of dominion in the spirit that church attenders alone cannot get there. That members, nominal Christians cannot get there. There is a depth you can go with God that God will covenant over your destiny. He will give nations for you. I'm telling you. There is a level of intimacy with God where God will defend you for his namesake. He will fight a nation for your sake because you have gotten into that level of bridehood. It's like a husband and a wife, the way he fights for his bride. I'm telling you, God loves everybody,
But please listen to me, Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are men who have been invested in God. They have thrown their all. God will fight anyone. The Bible says he suffered no man to do them wrong. He reproved kings for their sake. He was not just talking about men of God. He was talking about lovers. Dance with me, O lover of my soul, to the song of all songs. Would you dance with me, O lover of my soul, to the song of all songs? God is calling someone deeper. Will you dance with me, O lover of my soul, to the song of all songs? Where you love him beyond titles, where you love him beyond church activities, where you love him beyond results, where you are not just using him to get things. Like you always hear me say, for many people, Jesus is a ladder. They want to use him to climb greater heights. And he knows he can discern falsehood. Many of us seek for his hands. He's searching for those who seek his face and his heart. It says, this is the generation of them that seek the God of Jacob. They seek your face. When I find your face, I know I will find your hand. I can turn my face from you and still stretch my hands towards you. You've not had the best of me. But when I turn my face towards you, every other thing that comes with my face, my heart, my hands, will also be directed towards you. Someone pray in 1 minute and say, Lord, deepen my walk with you. Come on, America, Koinonia Global, turn it into prayer. Particularly if you're a servant of the living God. Deepen my walk with you. Let me love you. Let me love you. Let me love you. Let me love you. I wouldn't trade you for silver or gold. Are you praying, Koinonia Global? I wouldn't trade you for riches untold. You are my everything. That's the key. That you are the love of my life. You are the hope that I cling to. You mean more than this world to me. I wouldn't trade you for riches untold. I wouldn't trade you for silver or gold. You are my everything. I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice. We're staying here for a reason. To worship you, oh my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ears. I love your presence. I love you, Jesus. I love your presence. I love your presence. I love your presence.
presence. I love your presence. I seek your presence. Stay in your presence. Dwell in your presence. Love, I love. I love, I love. I'll stay, I'll stay. I'll stay, I'll stay. I'll dwell, I'll dwell. I'll dwell, I'll dwell.
You're not wasting your time.
I'll press, I'll press. Press for your presence. Press for your presence. Press for your presence.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray for the church in America, and I pray for Koinonia US, Koinonia Global, the body of Christ, that you will bring us to a place of intimacy, that you will deepen our walk with God, that we will know you indeed. We will be a people strong and mighty. In Jesus' name we pray. Please be seated. Please be seated. When we take these moments, it's not a waste of time. This is how God ministers to people. For someone, is like a river that is flowing to you, because you have been like from a fruitful vine or a desert or a forest. You declined and degenerated spiritually until you were left as a vine, and now you have become a wilderness. But the Bible says when the Spirit is poured upon us from on high, that desert will now become a fruitful vine. Isaiah 32:15, and that you now become a forest. The ordinances of intimacy: prayer. Number two, the study of the word. Number three, your time invested in heartfelt worship, just like we experienced for a few minutes. And then number four, your investedness as far as the corporate gathering of the saints are concerned. Please write this down. These four secrets. You want to maintain intimacy with God, there's no superstition about it. Number one, it starts with your level of investedness in prayer, not need-driven prayer. There's prayer as a tool for fellowship. Number two, your commitment to the study of the word. Listen to my teaching, Equipping the Saints, and I've done a number of teachings that relate to how to engage the word, how to derive profit from scripture. You study, number two, you speak, number three, you hear. Number four, you obey. There are four ways to derive profit from scripture. Let me rearrange it well. Number one, you study to show yourself approved. Number two, you hear. It's part of the process of meditation. Number three, you take the time to speak the word. And then number four, you obey the word. They heard the word just like we did, but the word did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Hallelujah. And then, of course, your time of worship. It's important. You must have your time of the evening sacrifice, where you lift up worship before your God. And then, to not neglect the corporate gathering. Imagine if you did not come to church. Imagine what you'll be losing spiritually. The Bible says in Hebrews 10 and verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Whether you are there online or offline, you make sure you connect, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. Number two, very quickly, the second prize, as far as pressing for more and moving from one level of glory and kingdom stride and triumph to the other is concerned, is the price of vision and an unbending focus. Write that down. The price of vision and an unbending focus. Proverbs 29, 18. Let's hurry. Proverbs 29 and verse 18. The price of vision and an unbending focus. The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. One rendition says, where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. Meaning they miss the coordinates. You see, it's like a ship at sea and you lose your true north, your navigation system. You are left and lost. You can't see anything except water all around you and your system of guidance, the true north, the compass, you've lost everything. He said, where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. In Isaiah, I think chapter 50 and verse 7. Did I get that right? Give it to us. Isaiah 50 and verse 7. Hallelujah. Yeah. It says, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. It says, therefore I have set my face like a flint. Not looking left, not looking right. I set my face like a flint. I wrote something here, and this is first for Koinonia Global and then the body of Christ. You must fight an arrival mentality if you want to remain a champion. No matter how high, no matter how far, no matter how successful, no matter how victorious, you must fight the arrival mentality. There are people who celebrate success too soon. Are we together? Fight the arrival mentality. You may have heard me say that compared to where God is taking us, we are just a step out of the cave. And I really mean it. You would see what God is doing around the world and you would think that we're all to experience. No, there's more. There's more. Our lives and destinies as individuals and as a ministry are like the pages of a book. If you get to page 10, the book is not finished yet. Are we together? Praise the name of the Lord. He said, I come in the volume of the book. It's not just one page. It's a volume of a book. So we've seen page whatever we are. Now, there's still a lot more. And I'm telling you, there really is still a lot more. Only God knows what else he has in store for us. Now listen to what I said. Both failure and success, both discouragement and over-celebration of results can become a distraction to your next level of glory. Let me say that again. Both failure and success, both discouragement and then the over-celebration of results can become a distraction to your next level of glory. When it has to do with victory, triumph, and dominion, you have to be careful with success as much as you are careful with failure. Let me read that again because some of you are writing. Both failure and success, discouragements or frustrations, and then over-celebration of results can become distractions to your next level of glory. And now listen to this. Rejoice and celebrate victories and achievements at every level of your life, but do not be distracted by it. When there is a cause for victory, please rejoice. When there is a cause for celebration, please celebrate. It is all right to pat yourself at the back. Humans walk by motivation. It is all right. We took time to celebrate Jesus and celebrate ourselves for the much that he's done in and through our lives so far and through our Sound of Revival series. However, it's important that we celebrate success with boundaries. When you celebrate success without boundaries, it becomes a tool that leads to failure. Hallelujah. I think I shared a very humorous story one time preaching somewhere in Nigeria that I was going to microwave beef just to warm it so that I can enjoy my meal. And I can't remember what happened. You know, just a minute or two in the microwave was fine. I got distracted. You know, sometimes you press the numbers 4 or 5, but you intend for just 1 or 2. So I left it there. And later on, I began to sense the smell of, you know, beef burning, and I came. And what was the same heat that was supposed to just make it warm enough later destroyed the entire thing. That's how celebrating success is. There is a healthy portion. Once you expose that heat of celebration beyond necessary, it now destroys the reason why you are celebrating in the first place. Who is learning now? Thank God for that example.
If my beef did not burn, I probably would not know what to say now. So you owe me beef, America. Now that I've said it here, find a way of giving me beef or bacon or something before I return back. Praise God. Are we learning? Price number three, let's make progress. So one has to do with intimacy with God. Number two has to do with vision. Perhaps I should just back down again to tell you, vision gives you focus. Vision gives you focus. Vision gives you the legitimacy to say no to many things. How many of you know that both good and bad can distract? Vision gives you the legitimacy to say no. Vision helps to converge your energy so that you invest your energy profitably. If you are someone who is not visionary, you will dissipate energy and diverge it carelessly. It's like a river that is flowing or water that's just spilling everywhere. It's not producing profit. But once you create tributaries and then the river flows and it can be channeled to the garden to water the plants, vision is powerful. Vision gives energy direction. Once you are not visionary, your energy will not produce profit. Is someone learning? Number two, very quickly. The third price to pay, as far as moving from one level of success to the other is concerned. Remember, we're discussing I press. We're contending for next level victories beyond where we are. Number three, the third price is greater enlightenment. Greater enlightenment and transformation. Where we are now is a testament of the level of spiritual enlightenment and transformation we contended for before now. Where we need to go to also has demands of a level of enlightenment and transformation above that which we currently experience. Are we together? And so we must press. Isaiah chapter 61 to 3, I quoted that earlier on. It says, arise, shine. You arise and you shine not because you've been there for a long time, but because your light is come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Verse 3 says, Gentiles shall come to your light and then their kings will come to the brightness of your rising. I like 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2. It's become an anchor, an instructive scripture in my life. It says, 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2, please give it to us. 8 and verse 2. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 2. If any man think that he knoweth anything, the Bible says he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. So there is a standard, as he ought to know, as he ought to know. A student who does well in college, say first year, even if he has a CGPA of 4 or 5 points, whatever parameter you use here, how many of you know that that person having 4 or 5 points or whatever, you know, the parameter on the spot, 100%, does that qualify the student to already be a graduate? No. He's an excellent student, still learning. An excellent student, still forming. An excellent student that has potential. Are we together? Yeah. You don't judge his overall excellence by the first semester or the first session. No, he's done well. You pat him, but you say, keep on, keep going. Greater enlightenment and greater transformation. Did you know that whenever I'm done preaching and doing all this, seeing people and I go back home, my own personal journey of enlightenment and transformation continues. I'm like a postgraduate student. So, you are a lecturer. How many of you are both lecturers and students? Or have seen lecturers and students at the same time? So, you are a lecturer, but at another dimension, you are a student. If you fail to be as such in destiny, you will not win consistently. So, you have the grace and the credence to help those who are coming. But with respect to where you are going, you are also a student. So, make sure you don't throw away your notebooks and all of that. You can teach, you can mentor, you can build. But ensure and insist that you are a student. I'm a student of my next level. I may be a lecturer of my past level, but I'm a student of my next level. Are we learning? Praise the name of the Lord. And thank you. Like I taught you, there are three levels of darkness with respect to knowledge that you must deal with. Number one is complete ignorance. complete ignorance. Zero. As far as the knowledge of the ways of victory is concerned. Number two, there is inaccurate knowledge. That means your mind is filled with all kinds of information, but you are holding the wrong keys. How many of you know you can have a bunch of keys, but none of them are the keys to the door you want to open? So just because you have keys does not mean it will open the door you want to pass through. Believers and, you know, people pride themselves in knowing so much. The question is, does it sustain the power to open the door? Are we together? Say, for an example, you want to open the door to your finances. You can have all kinds of keys and stand at the door of finances and keep turning it left and right or swiping it, and it does not open because it's the wrong key. It's a key, but with respect to the door you seek to open, it is a wrong key. And I'm telling you, there are many believers using wrong keys. Just because you found it in the Bible does not mean it opens every door. There are keys, and you must be trained to use which key to which door. The key that opens up your bedroom may not open the door to your kitchen. So if you want to sleep, you have the right key. But if you want to eat, you are in trouble. You need to find the key. You are in the house already, but you can still be stuck even in your house. Because every house is made up of keys. So that house is like your destiny. You can find the key to intimacy and not find the key to prosperity. And you'll be surprised that you love Jesus so much and you'll still be broke and you'll still fail. And yet you are in the house. You are a child of God. So my assignment is to give you the key to every door that your destiny will require. Is someone learning? So that when you go to, say, in my figurative expression, when you stand at the bedroom, you swipe which one, and you find it because you've been taught. It's dangerous to be in a house and be stuck there. When we call your name, where are you? Are you in the house? You say, yes. Where exactly? I'm in a toilet. Can you open the door? No. Why? I only have the key to the kitchen. Many believers are like that. So they are in the kingdom, but you wonder why other doors don't open. And they tell you, I have keys. But with respect to the door you seek to open, you have a wrong key. So I pray for you in the name of Jesus. May God culture your understanding from tonight and show you the keys to the doors you seek to open. Listen to me, believers. There are keys that open the door of favor. There are keys that open the door of influence. There are keys that open the door of power. There are keys, are we together? Yes. That open the door of productivity. There are keys that open the door of longevity. Which ones do you have and which ones do you not have? Don't just say, I have keys. Show me the doors the keys open. I hope you don't receive the keys of another man's door and keep using it on your door. Some keys are bespoke. Some keys are personality specific. That's why you must depend on the Holy Ghost. We all have Bibles, but the Holy Ghost can contextualize that key so that it opens your door. Breathe, Lord. Breathe. Breathe, Lord. Breathe. Breathe upon my life. Listen, I receive, I manifest. That's why the song came. Your power and your wisdom till the nations see Jesus lifted up, exalted. I receive your praise, I manifest your power and your wisdom till the nations see Jesus lifted up, glorified. Please be seated. Three levels of darkness you must deal with. Number one, ignorance. In that case, you don't even have any key to any door, right or wrong. Your hands are empty. Dangerous. Number two, you have keys, but it does not open any door. You have keys, but they are not for the doors you seek to open. It's called inaccurate knowledge. You're not in ignorance, but your knowledge cannot produce profit. Number three, incomplete knowledge. So you have 10 doors, but you have 4 keys. Only 4 doors of the 10 doors required by your destiny will open. Who is learning? incomplete knowledge. The keys are right. The doors for this, in this illustration, your destiny requires 20 doors to be open, but you only press to have 4. So how many doors will be open? Exactly 4. And you find out that you have been sent to a house with limitless potentials, and yet you are still trapped because you have some keys. And the ones you have are right, but it cannot open every door. Again, I pray for you. Some of you who have 4, after today, God will upgrade it to 10, some to 15. I know that there are those who will hold 20 over 20. All the keys required for the doors of your destiny. If you are receiving, shout amen. Listen, let me tell you this. Ladies and gentlemen, contend for higher levels of knowledge and transformation. How do you know you need knowledge? Verify your need for knowledge by the presence of darkness in any area of your life. Darkness means the absence of results or the absence of consistent results. The presence of darkness is the most valid diagnosis of your need for light. Why is this working and yet this is not working? Are we together? When it has to do with intelligence, I'm fine. But when it has to do with favor, no one wants to help me. That area of darkness reveals that you need to get the key that brings favor. Who is understanding? Listen, I want you to believe me. Believe me. What you are hearing are not cunningly devised fables. When you say a believer is walking in dominion, what you are saying is that through the grace of God, are we together? And access to refined knowledge, that person has become a custodian of keys. Keys that can open as many doors. The way you become a blessing to people is that you have access to keys. When you stand before the door of delay, you have the key that opens it. When you stand before the door of stagnation, you have a key that opens it. When you stand before the door of mediocrity, you have a key that opens it and you experience liftings. It is dangerous. Listen. Some of you are leading people right now and you have proposed to them that you can open more doors than you have the keys to. So you need to be careful. Don't lead a generation and tell them I can lead you and there are 30 doors to be opened and yet you have only 4 keys. Who is learning? There are many Christians that do not have the keys that make you prosper in business. Prayer is wonderful, but it is not the only key. If you don't learn the other keys, productivity, excellence, for an example, we're coming there. You will be surprised that you are a Christian, yet you cannot build anything. And you'll be wondering, and yet God has granted you the favor. There's a prophetic word on you, but you have 4 keys and you want to open 20 doors. So we must contend. Someone say, I contend. Say, I press. As a man of God, there is a level of knowledge and transformation, and I tell it you sincerely, that cannot allow you to have beyond 500 members. And it's not a curse, and it's not the will of God. No matter how you pray and fast, the level of orientation, listen, leading a global ministry and leading a congregation, it requires beyond zeal. You need leadership, organizational principles, excellence, in addition to spirituality. Don't just say, I'm anointed. What you see today by the message of God is not just a display of zeal for God. There is a combination of leadership, excellence, training, organizational principles. Are we together? How to sell so that you persuade people. These are the keys that work together. My question for you is, how many keys do you have and how many do you not have? Say, I press. Shout it again. Say, I press. Assumption is costly. Say, I press. Press. If it's not working in your life, take responsibility early and begin to press. Ask questions. Dr. Murdoch will say questions are the seeds for answers. If you don't ask questions, you will not get answers. Why is this not working in my life? Koinonia Global, please hear me. I don't pamper ignorance in my life. And I'm not embarrassed when I find an area of ignorance. Once I begin to fight, and I never rest till I find the answer. You've heard me say there is always a way out.
You may not know the way out, but there is a way. Listen, I've enjoyed my stay in Atlanta, Georgia. You have no idea. I hope you don't tempt me to come back. But I mean, I've enjoyed my time. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, but listen. If you ask me to return back home now, I mean, back to my place here, I'm not sure I exactly know how to get there by myself. I just know that I leave home, they drive me, I enjoy the view, and I get to church. You see that? Now, that does not mean there is no way to my house, but I don't know it. There is a way to victory. That you have not found it does not mean it is not there. You must humble yourself. Listen to me. I'm speaking to the body of Christ. There is a way to prosperity with integrity. Don't generalize your frustration. You've tried what you know to do. Because it did not work for you does not mean it cannot work. Search for it. There is a price to power. Genuine power. That you told someone who was oppressed, be free, and he was not free. It does not mean deliverance is not a possibility. It does not mean healing is not a possibility. Someone say, I press. Fight ignorance like you fight Satan. Fight mediocrity like you fight Satan. Don't plateau. Get up, open the books, burn the midnight candle until you sustain the level of intelligence, orientation, transformation that befits your next level. The door will not open until your mindset can open it. If your belief system is below the next level, you will not get there. I'm telling you. Listen to me. Let me talk to everyone, but with all due respect, please allow me to tilt for one moment and talk to my dear African brothers and sisters. The secret, with all due respect, you see that? It's not the color of your skin. It's the strength of your understanding. I have proven it with my life. Any door can open if your mindset can hold the key. I forgot to tell you that in destiny, you don't hold the key with your hands. You hold the key with your mind. Now, physically, you hold it with your hands. But in destiny, if your mind cannot hold the key, I'm telling you, that door will not open. The Bible says, for as he thinketh in his heart, interchange for mind. It didn't say, so he will become, so he is. There are champions here who are hiding like Gideon because your mindset has sold you a lie. I came in the name of Jesus Christ to expose that lie and to tell you there is a champion locked in within you. Are we together? Shake off unbelief. Shake off mediocrity. Press for knowledge. It will not happen by luck. Victory is not luck. Victory is not luck. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I want to make a very nice statement in honor to our lovely Caucasian family, and I see a number of them here. You know one of the reasons, in all honesty, why I love the Caucasian family? By default, they have been trained to be systemic in their thinking. It's true. It's an uncomfortable truth, but it's true. Systemic. The average Caucasian is very systemic in their thinking. Beloved brothers and sisters, we must train our spirits, but we must upgrade our understanding. And let me tell you this, so that you do not confuse what I'm saying, transformation and exposure are two different things. You can be exposed and yet not transformed. If you've lived in America for a number of years, you are by far more exposed in terms of the advantage of your observing systems and how things work than an average person maybe somewhere in Africa, in truth. However, I must tell you this, transformation and exposure are two different things. There are many people who are exposed, but they are not transformed. That is the reason why, regardless where you relocate to, the same trouble follows you. You know why? Because the Bible says the signs shall follow what you believe. Look at me. I hope I'm not wasting your time. The Bible said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Now look up, please. Poverty is a sign. Loneliness is a sign. Failure is a sign.
it follows a certain kind of believing. Victory is a sign. Are we together? Friendship is a sign. So you don't drive what is following you by saying go away. You change the mindset that attracts it. If everybody is running away from you, don't say everyone hates me. No, that loneliness is following a certain belief system. Who understands me? Honestly, victory is a sign that follows a certain believing. Defeat is a sign that follows a certain believing. This sign shall follow them that believe. We change the signs by upgrading our beliefs. And let me tell you the truth. You can go everywhere and the same signs reproduce themselves everywhere. You know, we talk a lot about demonic things, spirits of inheritance, curses and all of that. And it is true. But you see, curses and yokes are empowered by mindsets and beliefs, not just spirits. Please listen. It's the union of spirits alongside beliefs that produce patterns. Spirits plus belief systems equal patterns, whether the pattern is victory or failure. So the pattern of curses and yokes and stagnation is the presence of a demonic spirit assigned plus a mentality that hosts that spirit. So the way you help a man to be free, listen to my message, complete deliverance, is to, number one, cast out the spirit influence, but number two, re-engineer that person's understanding. It's called deliverance through transformation. Now, most times we focus on casting out the spirit. With one word, the spirit will go. But ignorance is not a demon. You don't cast it out. No, ignorance is not a demon. It's a state of mind. So you upgrade knowledge, and it is not in one day. It is true. Who is learning? This is why I am confident, and I dare to tell you, beloved people, you will never be at the same level. Listen. There's intelligence in communicating spiritual things. As you say amen, it is true, but you must know why. If I ask you, why will you not be at the same level? Because this word you see that I'm speaking unto you is doing a re-engineering. You are under the influence of this grace. It forbids that you remain at the same level. And listen, this is not just a prophetic word. There is a layer of transformation happening to you through the words, coming through the gates of intellect. But there is a layer that is a spirit communication. The Holy Ghost is upgrading your mind. Who understands me now? I'm telling you, there are certain negative things you will not find again. Do you know why? Because the mindset that comes in partnership with that spirit has been lost. So the spirit becomes useless to your life. Do you get that now? Don't just cast spirits. Bring light. Light. Because when a demon leaves a man, it returns back and finds the same mindset. The place is clean, the place is swept, but it is empty. This is the reason why many believers cast demons out, but return back to the same problem. Cast demons out, then they run away to another land. The mindset, listen, your mindset is a voice in the spirit. It attracts spirits. Listen, when it has to do with enlightenment and transformation, I tell you this, science, religion, and psychology all agree that you will attract to your life that which is consistent with your belief system, your orientation. It is true. You see how the church should look like. You should be wiser because you came to church. Not just shout glory to God, but live with defined knowledge that you can use to produce victory through the week. Please be seated. I press. I press for greater knowledge. The knowledge of God. The knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom. Your knowledge must be broad. Your knowledge must be wholesome. Let me remind you again that I said the ministry of the word in the life of the believer. Hallelujah. There are four dimensions of the ministry of the word in the life of the believer that builds you to become wholesome. Number one, doctrine. The first dimension of spiritual knowledge we need as believers is doctrine. Doctrine here referring to the foundational truths of the Christian faith. You cannot be a winner in Christ if you do not know the foundational truths. Foundational truths. Who God is. Who Jesus is. What salvation is. What is the church? What is victory? The Bible gives it to us in Hebrews chapter 6. It calls them the foundation. The foundation. Then it says, after knowing the foundation, verse 1, it says, we press towards perfection. Let me read it for you quickly. It says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to where? Perfection. But these are the foundations. Not laying again the foundation of number 1, repentance from dead works. Number 2, faith towards God. Number 3, verse 2, the doctrine of baptisms. Number 4, of laying on of hands. Number 5, of resurrection from the dead. Number 6, eternal judgment. Believers must be trained to understand doctrine. Number 2, believers must be trained to understand the principles of the kingdom. The kingdom of God has a modus operandi. The kingdom of God has a way it functions, and you must be trained to understand how the kingdom functions. There are certain principles that do not make sense until you are a believer. For an example, giving and receiving. For an example, the mystery of praise as a weapon for commanding victory. These are mysteries that until you are in Christ and in the kingdom, it doesn't make sense. Are we together? Number 3, the third assignment of the word of God, if the word of God is to be effective in the life of the believer, it must capture what I call wisdom for leading. So it equips you to function excellently within the cosmos. This body of knowledge are not necessarily privy to Christians. So you learn things like the law of honor. You learn things like the law of productivity, the law of relationships. These are not laws that are necessarily left to Christians, but you need them to excel within the cosmos. You can understand the mysteries of the kingdom, but if you do not understand the wisdom for living, you will live like a stranger in the world. Are we together? And then finally, you must have a word-compliant worldview. There is a way a Christian sees life. There is a way a Christian interprets things. Politics, governance, economics. You see that now? We don't interpret life the way unbelievers interpret life. There is a lens, there is a vista through which we see things. I'll give you an example, and with all due respect, when you call a Muslim has a worldview. A well-trained Muslim has a worldview. There is a way a Muslim looks at the world. There is a way he cannot see the world. He sees the world from the lens of what he stands for. He interprets every happening with respect to the profit that it provides to his faith. That's his worldview. Are we learning? A particular nation, I won't mention the name, but once it's time to fast, if you are in that nation, you will hardly find a restaurant that opens during the fasting period when the Muslims are fasting. No, you would almost, the hotels would practically shut down just for a few that will be open if you are fortunate, because they are fasting. So the fact that you found yourself there, it meant you believed in what was happening and you also fast, prepared or not. Hallelujah. I remember many years ago during the Lent period that we fast. So then they made all of us to fast by force, and it was such a painful time. We'd be hungry and watch the time. After praying for hours, you find out it was just 1 or 2 hours, and you're wondering, you mean I have to wait till evening? And so people just find all kinds of stories. Some will say, I'm sick. Some will say, you find someone who was laughing just minutes ago, and now he says, I'm sick, so they can be excused to eat. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Knowledge is like honey when you find it. It is sweet to the soul. Welcome to your new season. In Jesus' name. Number four. You desire to press to new levels. The fourth prize. Ready for this? You must contend for greater value, productivity, excellence, and contribution. Or you must press to provide value, be productive, be excellent, and contribute at a higher level. That's what I'm trying to say. Proverbs 18 and verse 16 says, the gift of a man, greater value, greater productivity, greater levels of excellence, greater levels of contribution. A man's gift, and let me put perspective to this, not just a man's gift available or a man's gift discovered. A man's gift only discovered will not bring him before the great. Let me interpret this scripture for you. A man's gift discovered, refined, and served with excellence, is what brings him before great men. You see that now? So most believers say, oh, the gift of a man. And you don't carry raw material and run around with it. You refine it. Then you serve it with excellence. Then it can bring you before great men. Can I tell you this, ladies and gentlemen? Increase, influence, next level triumph is greatly dependent on your level of contribution and productivity. Please shout this, say contribution. Say productivity. One more time, say contribution. Say productivity. Productivity means that you've discovered your value. You refine it, you turn it into products and services, and then you serve it to a targeted consumer base with excellence. That's what it means to be productive. Did you know, as a man of God, with respect to value, the reason why, say for an example and for want of, you know, example, if you say I am blessed, or if you say maybe someone has given me resources, it's not just because I'm preaching, it's because I'm selling value. Are we together now? I'm not selling it for a price, but I am communicating value. How many of you know you are leaving church better than you came? You have received very exact knowledge. That's it right there. This is the correct way to teach believers how to prosper. It is not unique because I am preaching Jesus. No. Every time value that is discovered, value that is refined, please pay attention. Value discovered, value refined, value translated to products and services, and then served with excellence to a targeted consumer base. That's what you call business. We're not in a business class, but I hope this profits someone. How do you know you are valuable? By who is looking for you. If nobody is looking for you, you are valuable intrinsically, but with respect to your territory, you are not valuable to them. If you sell peanuts and I do not eat peanuts, with respect to my hunger, you are not valuable to me. It doesn't mean you are not valuable as a person, but to me. And unfortunately, if I'm the only person on ground with the money to give you, then you are going to be broke, even though you are valuable. So you must learn to serve value that is needed and useful within the context of a civilization. Value that is needed and useful. Say needed. Say useful. Let me tell you this. Koinonia will remain strong, not only because God is behind us, that's a major reason, but because the value that we provide cannot be replaced with AI, cannot be replaced with technology. Listen to me. Thank God for increase in technology, but apps don't cast demons. This is why I know we'll still be here. Apps can aggregate knowledge, which is profitable, but it cannot heal the sick, sir. Say, I'm valuable. Say, I will still be here.
Say, my world needs me. Come on, someone. Say, my world needs me. In the name of Jesus, my world needs me.
I know there's a debate as to what will be left by the time AI takes over. I do not believe AI is a disadvantage. The Bible already said knowledge will increase. A wise Bible student already knows. But let me tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, I assure you by the integrity of God's word, provided there are still humans on earth, humans will be the ultimate solution to humans. The Bible talks about the man, Jesus, not just the app, Jesus. Apps can help, but there are things they may not be able to do. Now, listen, I'm not speaking professionally as one who is certified to speak on this matter, but I speak to you based on the integrity of Scripture, and I can tell you this for sure. Fear not, you will still be relevant. It is the reason why, in addition to being academically educated, you must be connected to the God whose relevance has not ceased from the beginning of time. No amount of upgrade in civilization has made the God of the Bible irrelevant. And every once in a while, men act like they don't need him. Then he allows things to happen on earth that brings them back to him as the only one who can help them. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3. Let that be your anchor scripture. In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Say, I'm a blessing. Say, I am relevant. Say, the world needs me. Yeah, Jesus lives in you. And for that singular reason, I'm telling you, now academically and based on the trend of technology, the truth is that many, many jobs will be replaced by technology. That's true. There's no point living in that kind of argument, but I can tell you this. The fact that you are connected with the God of heaven or to the God of heaven, and there is wisdom that flows from him to you, you will remain relevant regardless seasons, regardless dispensation. And I pray for you, every fear as to the state of your future in light of the technological trends, I pray for you that fear dies now. Even if your job will no longer be there, your relevance will still be there. Please be seated. Let me give you one or two more. Who is happy that you are in church? The gift of a man. It is your assignment, I wrote here, as I conclude the fourth point. It is your assignment to be valuable and to be outstanding. Watch this. It is your assignment to be valuable and to be outstanding. Then it is God's assignment to announce you to your lifters and to your world. It is your own assignment to be valuable. It is your assignment to be excellent, to be competent. Then it is God's assignment to announce you to your lifters and to announce you to your world. There are things you cannot do. It is not your role. Leave it to God. But there are things that are your role. Study to show yourself approved. God will not do that one for you. Submitting yourself to mentorship, to rise, to grow, to evolve, to expand. God will give you the grace. But like I told our family in Canada, grace available does not produce profit. It is grace received, grace utilized, and grace maximized. Not grace available. The grace of God is like rain. If you don't bring out a container to receive it, it will spill and go away. Grace received, grace utilized, grace maximized. It is your assignment to be valuable and to be outstanding, but it is God's assignment to announce you to your world. Listen to me. I pray for you. The grace and the intelligence it will take to solve problems, to provide solutions, to meet needs, and to answer questions, I release upon you. Let me say that again. The grace and the intelligence, both academic intelligence, spiritual intelligence, socioeconomic intelligence that it takes to solve problems, to provide solutions, to meet needs, and to answer questions, I release it upon you right now. You will be a solution.
You will be a solution, an undeniable solution. Nobody will ignore you from today. In the name of Jesus, across your field of endeavor, I place a grace of relevance upon you. You will not be ignored by the power of the Holy Ghost. If you desire to press, you must be relevant to your world. How many of you know about something called a typewriter? And how many of you know that as much as we admire it, in many regards and in many civilizations, it's become a monument now? Why? Not because a typewriter is wrong. There's been an upgrade in technology that makes it, as it is, irrelevant. Don't be like that. Men are living things. They can grow. You can evolve. You can refine yourself. You can mold like a reptile into a more superior version of yourself. Don't say, this is how I have been. Change. Reinvent yourself. Restrategize yourself. Number five. It's our last moment together. Let's enjoy it. Will soon be done. What are you learning? These are the keys that empower us to press and remain indomitable regardless seasons. Let me give you number five very quickly. The fifth price you have to pray, you have to pay to press and experience victories consistently. Open the door to your next level. Are you ready? The price of attracting, building, and maintaining strategic relationships. The price of attracting, number one, building, number two, and maintaining strategic relationships. Write for reference, Genesis 12, 1 to 4, Genesis 13, verse 5, Genesis 1 to 4, Genesis 12, 1 to 4, and Genesis 13 from verse 5. It's a popular rendition that I give every time I'm talking on relationships. The Bible says God called Abraham, and then the Bible says Lot went with him. God did not call Lot, but Lot went with the man that God called. By the time we get to Genesis chapter 13, particularly from verse 5, the Bible tells us that almost everything Abraham had, in terms of physical abundance, Lot also had it, to a point that you would not know who God called and who followed. That's the implication of strategic relationships. Now, but Lot made a mistake that I pray you do not make. Lot forgot that his blessing was because of his connection, and he protected the evidences of the blessing but did not protect the connection. Protect your connection first before you protect the fruit that have come from that connection. Don't get distracted by the fruit of the connection that you ignore the connection. And Lot went with him. That was the only thing Lot did to prosper. The Bible says a time came when the men of Lot and the men of Abraham began to quarrel and be in dispute. And Abraham came and said, we be brethren. We don't have to fight. He says, look around and choose. Wherever you think you and your men can go to, go ahead. And Lot would have said, no. I know why the blessing is manifesting in my life. I will call all my people and say, be careful. God did not call me. I only followed the man that the blessing is on. So make sure you do not create dispute among us. Lot was overtaken in pride, I believe, and Lot left. Guess where Lot went to? Who came back to save him? It was Abraham who advocated his deliverance again. That means he was not supposed to leave that relationship because Abraham was still relevant. This is a very powerful principle. Koinonia Global, you've heard me teach you this. Don't fight everybody. No. Make sure the person standing in front of you is called Goliath before you fight.
If the person standing in front of you is called Pharaoh, don't fight. If the person standing in front of you is called Ahasuerus, don't fight. If the person standing in front of you is called Saul, don't fight. If you fight Pharaoh, you cannot be prime minister. If you fight Ahasuerus, you cannot be queen. If you fight Saul, you will not be allowed to fight Goliath. Who is learning? Just because the person is standing in the opposite direction does not mean he's an adversary. Define your enemy properly so that you don't fight your helpers because of a seasonal conflict. Who is learning? Because I can tell you, some of you are where you are right now because Satan saw that you were about to enter a prophetic season. Listen, let me tell you how Satan aborts seasons. When he deals with your spiritual life, he looks around and picks all those who have the anointing to help you through relationships, and he creates disputes between you and them. When you are left alone, then he strikes you because the relationship that will help you is no longer there. Who is learning now? There are relationships you must swallow your pride and defend. Now listen, there are one-off relationships. There are seasonal relationships, but there are destiny relationships. You must know the difference. There are people you meet once. Just be kind to them. That's how to engage. There are relationships that are for seasons, but there are relationships that are for destiny. I don't know who you fought, calling everybody Goliath. Some of you have even fought Jesus because he left you to go to the cross. He left you to go to the cross. It was still for you, but because he was no longer there with you, you thought he left you. There are many people you are fighting now because they left you to go to the cross. They did not leave you to hate you. There is an assignment in their life that you will profit from. The man left you to go and pray for 2 weeks. He did not leave you. Don't fight Jesus because he was with you in proximity, but now he left you to the cross. Relationships are bridges. They take you from where you are to your next season of triumph, and they can take you from where you are to a place of decline. The prodigal son only lost one relationship. He had wealth, or let's say he had material expressions, but he lost the relationship with his father and decline began. Now he lost every other thing, and then he remembered that his father was not Goliath. He said, I will arise. Let me call him the right name. I was calling him an interrupter of my destiny, but now I will arise and go to my father. My father. Call people by the right names in the spirit, and you will understand ally from foe. Don't call people by situations. Call them by the name God has given them for you. Peter, I know you ran away from Jesus, but he still calls you my apostle, my disciple, and he still needs you. When Jesus resurrected, he went back to Peter and said, Simon Barjona, do you love me more than this? Simon said, depart from me, I'm a sinner. I disappointed you. Said, no, you will be a chief apostle. Now let me tell you this. I pray for you. The healing you need from the hurts, I'm ministering to you. The healing you need from the pains, the healing you need from the wounds, the healing you need from strategic relationships, particularly destiny relationships that will make for reconciliation, will make for reconnection. I pray for you in the name of Jesus. May God bring that healing right now. May God bring that healing right now. Listen to me, please. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. There are relationships when you leave, never go back again. There are relationships when you leave, find a way of going back, because you still need Abraham. By the time Sodom and Gomorrah begins her judgment, it was foolishness, lack of wisdom that took Lot. The Bible says Lot settled near Sodom. He was not in Sodom. He settled near Sodom. But by the time they came to rescue him, he was in at the center of Sodom. Hallelujah. Some of you would have gotten jobs today if only you had the humility to say, I am sorry. With all due respect, some homes would have still been together if only one person was honest and courageous enough to say, I am sorry. Can I tell you this? You must discern value, usefulness, and need, and don't trivialize it. When people are that important in your life, don't trivialize them. We only celebrate people when they die or when they leave. Learn to celebrate value and usefulness within the lifetime of the people. Don't wait until people die and then you eulogize, you say all kinds. They are dead. They didn't hear it. Maybe for someone, after this service, you may need to send strategic text messages, not in a transactional way. Tell them, I came to church and I've been taught the power of value. I look at my life all through my stay in US and I know you have been a valuable blessing. I'm sorry for being casual about your value. This is me saying I am grateful, and should the door be open, I desire a reconnection. The one who is in need is the one who reaches forth. You cannot become successful at your terms. Champions remain champions no matter what happens to you. This is an uncomfortable truth. Listen to me. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, God has brought us where we are today as a ministry, and for me as a person, not just because of the anointing. I am a product of strategic relationships. You succeed as an expression of who stands with you. Woe betides a man who is left alone, particularly in the day of battle. The Bible says two are better than one, for they have a good reward for their labor. Now listen, let me tell you this. Relationships, please hear me, America, hear me, body of Christ. Relationships have rules. Relationships don't maintain themselves. There is an intelligence. Can I give you four keys? Please sit and let me give you four keys that will help you attract, number one, learn people skills. Learn people skills. People skills refer to how to deal with people, understanding the psychological implication of relationships. Learn honor. Learn honor. Learn honor. Learn how to discern and recognize difference. I'll tell you this. One of the reasons why you see that I hold Mayor Harold Moore in high regard, because he's one of the few people that I can tell you sincerely, and I'm not just saying it because he's here, he's a man who has studied and has learned honor. Honor. And my beloved people, make sure when we are done, help me celebrate your pastor for his sense of discernment as far as honor is concerned. God bless you, Mayor, you and your wife. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please sit. Please sit. Let me tell you this. There is only one reason why doors close. Dishonor to God, dishonor to men, dishonor to principles. Dishonor to God, dishonor to men, dishonor to principles. I never see greatness and trivialize it. It's not human worship. No. America, believers, body of Christ, if you understand honor, I don't mean in a transactional, selfish way, just because you are looking for something in return. the genuineness of honor. When I meet fathers of faith, I honor them. When I meet the elders, even in the flesh, I honor them. I don't use people, I honor people. Let me tell you this. When people discover you are a user, even if they don't fight you, they will avoid you forever. There are people who are called users. Once you see a text from them or a call from them, you can be sure there is a need. And once that need is met, they hang up till another time. The world cannot revolve around you if that is your orientation. Are we together? The man who pays your bills, you forget their birthdays, you forget special days, you don't care when they are in trouble, you're not there. You only come when you have needs. No. Nobody receives a Nobel Prize for taking. We receive Nobel Prizes for giving. The Bible says it is more blessed to give. He wasn't talking about money. It's a mentality, it's an orientation. Let me tell you this. The way to the heart of the great is value, not begging. Value. Every man's need is his point of contact. Don't stand before the great and then you're always looking for what to get from them. You must carry this blessing mentality. Hallelujah. Unfortunately, unbelievers understand relationship principles by far more than believers. It's the wisdom of Egypt. There is something called the wisdom of the just. Believers who are in Christ must be equipped with the level of knowledge and wisdom to navigate the world of men. Listen, this is the world of men. You've heard me say, if God says yes, and the man to partner with him says no, your yes will remain in the realm of the spirit. You will never see it manifested in this life. It's called God-man partnership. The spirit and the bride. God can say breakthrough, open doors through his word. But the human vessel to partner with him, listen. Let me not go ahead of myself, but when God sends you to Brook Cherith, if you are Elijah, you don't need relationships when you are at Brook Cherith. You only need sensitivity to know when the raven comes and to know where the brook is. That's all that is required. But when God sends you to Zarephath, a raven will no longer feed you. It will be a woman. And you need to understand how to relate with that woman. Otherwise, you can die in Zarephath and it will be that it was God who sent you there. Is somebody learning? There are many preachers who cannot grow because they do not understand relational principles. Let me tell you one rule to ensure that you keep. Make sure honor is reciprocal. Don't be the one receiving honor, particularly for preachers. With all due respect, you know, we like this. We already have a celebrity mentality where everybody's about you because you are anointed. Everybody bows to worship. No, you must learn to appreciate people. I appreciate our workforce here. I appreciate you. I appreciate America. Let me tell you this. When you learn to make people feel loved and valuable, they will love you. You become alluring. You become endearing. People do not care how much you know until they know how much you care. It is true. God knows that I love you sincerely. God knows I'm not just using you for ministry. No. And I show it. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave time. He gave energy. He gave resources. He gave his heart. Giving is proof of love. One way you know that love is beginning to fade in any relationship is an excuse of time and investment. Once you find people giving an excuse of time and then investment of all sorts, energy, resources, or I'm busy, something is wrong there. Is somebody learning? Relationships. Who hates you does not matter. But who loves you matters. Don't mind haters. They are necessary as testifiers. Let them see as God lifts you. But focus on those who love you. Let me tell you something I've learned. I'll say this and then we'll move to the next point. I hope you are learning. Not everybody thinks you are a big deal. Not everybody thinks you are that special. Not everybody thinks you are that worthy of honor, of commendation. So when you find those who do, don't trivialize them. Who understood what I just said? Now, I'm not talking of those who play politics on your mind to gain something. I'm talking of those who genuinely see you as a gift and as a treasure. Sincerely, treasure them, value them. Where you need to say, I'm sorry, swallow your pride on time. It becomes more expensive. Pride can increase the price of relationships. Learn to say, I'm sorry on time, while it is cheap and affordable for you. Let me give you number six. I plan to give you seven, so two more. You want to move to the next level. You want to press. You must master humility as a lifestyle, even in the presence of undeniable results. Write that down. You must master humility as a lifestyle, even in the presence of undeniable results. James chapter 4 and verse 6, James chapter 4 and verse 10. You must master humility as a lifestyle, not something you do so that you are seen. Master humility as a lifestyle, even in the presence of undeniable results. Here's what my Bible says. To humble yourself. Verse 10 says to humble yourself in the sight of God and he will lift you up. Verse 6 says God opposes the proud. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. As simple as this scripture is, it is very frightening. Because when God is opposing you, the anointing cannot help you. You have heard me say that the anointing was not designed to fight God. So who do you run to when it is God who is opposing you? Only mercy can bail you out. Let me tell you this. One of the ways to walk in and to remain in humility is to be thoughtful. Remember where he brought you from. Most times when we forget how he took us and where he brought us from, we become prone to pride. Say, I receive grace. Please shout it. Say, I receive grace to walk in humility as a lifestyle, even in the midst of undeniable results. Yeah. Even in the midst of great glory, even in the midst of great strides, victories, triumph, please remember this message, my dear people. Koinonia US, God has done remarkable things through us. I mean, my phone, I was telling the workers, my phone has been flooded, literally without exaggeration, with hundreds of text messages, emails from pastors and different people. Apostle, thank you. My God, Koinonia is at another level, and I'm deeply grateful. But there's one thing I know. Success can be as poisonous as failure. So when people send these things, I lift it before the Lord. And I say, Father, you are the doer. I was only a vessel. Thank you, but keep me humble. You need to pray that prayer. Is somebody learning now? Keep me humble. Oh yes, you received an award. Glory be to God. Keep me humble. The sick were healed through your hands. Glory be to God. Keep me humble. I hear you just bought a home somewhere. Glory be to God, but keep me humble. I hear you've been promoted. Now you're a director. Glory be to God, but keep me humble. Someone shout, say, keep me humble. Say it like a real prayer. Keep me humble. I'll tell you something I've learned about God. If you maintain a disposition of humility as a lifestyle, there's no limit to how far and how high God will take you to. If there's anything I learned about God, the first door he opens is not the only door he intends to open. The first door is usually a test. So he sees your reaction. The first $1 million, a test. The first display of honor, a test. Open doors, promotion, a test. When you learn to give him glory in the midst of it, to see you high and lifted up, you are shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. We lift you high, be lifted up. You're shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Regardless how high you lift us, oh God, as a ministry, may we remain humble. Shout amen.
Amen.
Regardless how high you lift Joshua Selman, oh God, grant him the grace to remain humble.
Amen.
Say amen on my behalf.
Amen.
Regardless how high you lift every pastor here, grace to remain humble.
Amen.
As God blesses you and you step into the million and the billion realm, the grace to remain humble. As God gives you a global voice and your impact begins to reverberate the north, the south, the east, and the west of America, your nation, or Nigeria, grace to remain humble. And for those of you who are already carried away in pride, I pray for you from the depth of my heart. May the God who is the God of mercy restore you back to the place of humility. Restore you back to the place of humility. So that you will not suffer the plague that came upon Nebuchadnezzar. I pray that God will not have to allow you to be demoted, to remind you of where he took you from. That as you rise, you will stay humble. That as you shine, you will stay humble. That as the glory of God and his grace is multiplied upon your destiny, I pray for you that after we are gone from now, that disposition of humility will become your default state forever. I'm sure of what the word is already doing in your life. I am sure of the testimonies that will come. But my prayer for you, my beloved brothers and sisters, my prayer for you, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ in America, is that as he lifts us, may we remain humble. Please sit and let me give you the last key. Humility. He opposes the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. I wrote here that pride is a reducer, a depleter of honor and grace. Pride is a reducer, a depleter of honor and grace. Pride worsens any condition. Poverty plus pride makes it worse. Success plus pride reduces the potency of it. The anointing plus pride reduces the fire. Pride worsens any condition. Always acknowledge the God of heaven as the basis of everything good in your life, and then he will continue to lift you. I've told you here, celebrate success and achievements, but do it with boundaries. Perhaps you've heard me make a very profound statement that came to me by revelation, that it takes vision to start. It takes discipline to continue, but it takes mercy to finish. It takes vision to start. It takes discipline to continue. But I'm telling you, when all is said and done, ask the elders, it takes mercy to finish. When you find someone finish and finish well, it went beyond vision. When you find someone finish and finish well, it went beyond discipline. In fact, when you find someone finish and finish well, it went beyond prayer. It went beyond fasting. It went beyond engaging value. These things are wonderful. But there are times you do all of this and life will still hit you. It takes mercy to finish. Say mercy, Lord. Final key. You want to press to the next level. If you forgot anything I said, don't forget this seven key. It is a major contributor to your remaining
to your longevity of impact. The price of accessing divine direction and accurately discerning prophetic seasons. Please write that down. The price of accessing divine direction and accurately discerning prophetic seasons. I want to say that slowly. The price of accessing divine direction and accurately discerning prophetic seasons. I'll give you a few scriptures to write. We may not touch all of them. Numbers 9:23. Okay, let me just run through them very quickly. Numbers 9 and verse 23. Next, Psalm 32 and verse 8. We'll just pick one or two to read. Psalm 32 and verse 8. Psalm 37. Okay, well, it's projected here, so let me just take it quickly. Psalm 32 and verse 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. Say amen. And I will guide thee with mine eye. Psalm 37 and verse 23. 37, 23. The Bible says the steps of a good or a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighted his way. Isaiah 30 and verse 21. Isaiah 30 and verse 21. 30, 21, Isaiah. And your ears shall hear a word behind the America, Koinonia, Global, saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it when you turn to the right and when you turn to the left. Can I give you one last scripture? Psalm 23, popular scripture, 1 to 3. I like this one. Psalm 23, 1 to 3. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Verse 2, let's read. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Verse 3. He leadeth me in the paths of, not destruction. He leadeth me in the paths of destruction. Ladies and gentlemen, please hear this. The issue of divine direction and interpreting prophetic seasons is a major factor that will determine the longevity of your impact and your relevance. There are limitations that come with the human nature. Confusion is part of the limitations that befall all men. No matter how accurate you are, it is a weakness in men to be confused, to be lost for ideas, or short of direction. The Bible says in Proverbs 14 and verse 12, it says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. A way of doing business, a way of doing ministry, a way to do family that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We are limited in knowledge. It's a weakness with all men. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 9 says, we see in part and we prophesy in part. No matter how, did you know that vision creates blindness? As powerful as vision is, it creates blindness. Look at this. I'm looking at you right now because I'm focused. I can't see here, I can't see here, and I cannot see my back. That's why you need guidance. Vision is powerful, but it has a side effect too. It creates blindness. There are many things you will not see because you are focused, including danger that is coming, including a new season. If a door is opened by my left, I may not see it because I'm focused on you. So I will need one to tap me and direct me. Sometimes, error in judgment and interpretation is a weakness in all men. I'm showing you the necessity for divine direction and interpreting prophetic seasons. We can judge visions wrongly. We can judge dreams wrongly. Not because we're fake. Not because we're not spiritual. It's a weakness in all men. And finally, the limits that come with our emotions. Sometimes because of our emotions and our desires can be misleading. An example of such, if I recall, is in 1 Samuel 16 and verse 6. Remember, the man Samuel, he was a great prophet.
But he was so emotional about the issue of anointing the next king. The Bible says when he saw Eliab, he said, surely this is God's anointed. But God had to tell him, oh, hold on. Well built, fit all your descriptions, but he's not the one. Sometimes our emotions can tamper with what God is saying. Hallelujah. Now let me tell you this, and please listen. New seasons and new dimensions demand great discernment. New seasons and new dimensions demand great discernment. I wrote something here that most seasons in your life will demand change or adjustment. Most seasons in your life will demand change or adjustments. A change in approach and strategy. Sometimes a change in location. Sadly, sometimes even adjustments in relationships, both good and bad. And you must know how to discern it. God can tell you to go right today, but when seasons change, the next place may be to go left. Let me tell you how to go forward in the spirit. Watch me. If you ask me to go forward physically, I march forward. This is how to go forward in life. I mean, generally. But in the spirit, let me tell you how to go forward. Going forward in the spirit may mean this. 2025. And yet you are going forward. Because that's the direction. 2026. 2027, 2028, this is how we go forward. It's not a straight line. If you don't know how to navigate seasons, you will keep moving and Satan will continue a road that has ended. You will see the road still progressing until it leads you. God can start a journey and Satan can finish that journey because you do not know where the road ends. Listen, you must hear this before we close. There are many ministries, with all due respect, that started well, but when seasons change, that's where accuracy in the spirit is most needed when seasons change. I know it was God who sent you to Zarephath, but make sure you know when the ministry of Zarephath is over. Else you can die in Zarephath and say, God sent me. God spoke again. Do you know how to hear God again? How to hear God again? He sent you to America, I know. He told you to start real estate, I know. But do you know how to lean on the ears of the Father so that you will hear what He's saying concerning 2026? Don't die in Zarephath because God sent you there. When the water begins to dry and the raven refuses to come, I want you to know that Brook Cherith has come to an end. Now you must begin to hear the word of the Lord for the next place of assignment. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Sound of Revival was a vision that God gave about 3 years ago. It's amazing to know that what God has done through this vision is only about 3 years old. It came as a supernatural vision. I just knew seasons had changed. It was a big risk. It was a leap of faith. Today, nations have been blessed by it. We used to say this with Pastor Nathaniel Bassi, that a vision that came a few years ago, what you call today Hallelujah Challenge, it was just an impression God gave him to meet in a studio with a few people and just lift up sounds of praise. Today, it has become one of the largest worship online worship platforms globally. The difference between where you are and the next level of kingdom stride can be divine direction or a discerning of what to do. The Bible says, and of the children or the tribes of Issachar, it said there were men who had an understanding of the times and they knew what Israel ought to do. For someone here, God sent you to Brook Cherith, but He now sent me to tell you, Brook Cherith is drying up. You must learn to listen. What Brook Cherith brought to your life is over. You must trust God for grace to start learning how to meet the widow in Zarephath Because the bread that will sustain you for the next level is no longer in brook cherries. Please listen to me. I'm speaking to you by the Spirit. It is good to be organized. It is good to be systemic, but it is best to be discerning. The enemy of navigating spiritual seasons is over-dependence on organization. We are people of excellence, you have seen, but we are also people of discernment. If God speaks to me and says, let this be the last edition of Sound of Revival, I will verify from him. And there are many ways to discern the will of God. Prophetic counsel, staying with the Holy Ghost, dreams, visions, listen to my message, the voice of God. And then the Lord is my shepherd. Two messages that deal, you may want to add, navigating prophetic seasons. These three messages deal with the issue of discerning seasons. Number one, the voice of God. Number two, the Lord is my shepherd. Number three, navigating prophetic seasons. In fact, you may want to listen to number four, the prophetic word for the hour. I preached this just about three weeks or so ago. It was about the last or second to the last teaching before we left home. It's important. If there is anything I dread in my life, it's assumption with God. Assumption. Don't assume that the way you followed yesterday is still the way to your tomorrow. Verify. And David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue? Shall I overtake? And he said, pursue, overtake, and without fail, recover all. Someone needs to go on a retreat after we're done and say, Father, for the remaining part of 2026, should I pursue? I'm tired of making mistakes. Listen, the value of wisdom is in its ability to influence your decision-making capability. You know you are wise because of the superiority of the outcomes and the consequences that come from your decisions. When your decisions are self-sabotaging and destructive and stagnating, something is wrong with wisdom, something is wrong with divine direction. By the grace of God, we are pressing. God has done well. We heard him clearly to have come here. But we need to incline our ears again. I will stand upon my watch and I will set myself upon the tower so that I will hear what he will say to me. I will see what he will say to me. We are going to pray. And my call for us is that in addition to everything I have listed, if you desire to press, to contend for next level victories, you must walk in keeping with these keys. Please rise up on your feet. The first key that I brought for you, please everybody listen as I recap. Key number one had to do with your intimacy with God, that you must preserve the ordinances of intimacy. Power comes from it. Bible faith comes from it. Number two, you must press to be a person of vision and unbending focus. It's the key that takes you from where you are to the next level. Number three, you must pay the price for, or the price of, greater enlightenment and transformation. The version you contended for yesterday brought you to where you are now. You must contend afresh to take you beyond where you are. Number four, the price that you must pay to press to the next level of victory and triumph is the price for or of greater productivity, value, excellence, and contribution. And this one is a product of learning, study, skill. Number five, you must gain mastery, or the price of attracting, or for attracting, building, and maintaining strategic relationships. Strategic relationships. Relationships are currencies. They can buy everything money can buy, but they can also buy what money cannot buy. Number six, the price of humility, mastering humility as a lifestyle, even in the presence of undeniable results. And number seven, the prize to access divine direction and to accurately discern prophetic seasons. I wish I had the time to walk a few things around that. Let me conclude by saying this. Koinonia Global, Koinonia US, God has been good to us, undeniably so. It is evident that even the blind can see that as a ministry, He has taken us from glory to glory. We are not where we were. But let me tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, there is more. Therefore, we press. There is more. Therefore, we press. Say that after me. There is more. Therefore, we press. Personalize it. There is more. Therefore, I press. One more time. There is more. Therefore, lift your hands and begin to thank the Lord for this word. There is more. There is more. Therefore, I press. There are higher levels of the anointing. Therefore, I press. Abuja, are you praying? Atlanta, are you praying? UK, are you praying? Canada, are you praying? There is more. Therefore, I press. I press in the place of prayer. I press in the place of the word. I press in the place of mentorship. I press in the place of my retreat, my work with God. I press in the place of acquiring strategic knowledge, understanding how to attract relationships. Someone lift your voice and pray. There is more. Therefore, I press. There is more. Therefore, we press. Arise. Depart from this place. This is not your rest. It has served you, but you have exhausted the relevance of this level, this dimension. Press. Pastors, press. There is more. Businessmen, press. There is more. Mothers, press. There is more. Fathers, press. There is more. Koinonia Global, there is more. Press. Shabrantela Soprakaparatos Kariasha. Lift your voice and begin to pray. Begin to pray. If you feel like holding the hands of a brother or a sister, that's fine. Lift your voice and pray. All over the globe, following online, can you pray? There is more. Thank God for where I am. Thank God for what He has done. Thank God for the victories manifest. Thank God for the breakthroughs manifest. Thank God for the honor. Thank God for the lifting. Thank God for prosperity. Thank God for the anointing. Thank God for your current level of illumination. But to the believer in Christ, there is more. There is more. You can have more fire. Your relevance can grow, can increase. Therefore, we press. We press. Even in the midst of plenty, we press. With the abundance of grace, we press. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now lift your voice in 1 minute. Please begin to pray for the church in America. Decree and declare by the power of the Holy Spirit. While thanking God for all that He's done through America, I'd like you to decree and declare that God will plant a hunger to press for more among preachers, a hunger to press for more among believers in America, from north to south, east and west of America. In the name of Jesus, we decree and declare, believers, the grace to press, the grace to press. Now extend that prayer to the body of Christ. Extend that prayer to Koinonia Global, that we do not become too distracted by what God has done all through this year. It's been a phenomenal year. Testimonies, mighty things by the Spirit of God. However, there is more. Thank God for Sound of Revival, Liverpool. Thank God for Sound of Revival. Thank God for the miracle services. Thank God for every service. Thank God for the mighty testimonies, the projects, many things, visions actualized. But in the name of Jesus, we press. There is more. There is more. There is more. By the power of the Holy Ghost, there is more spiritually, more financially, more destiny-wise. You've exhausted one page of your destiny. It's time to turn on the leaf to the next page. In the name of Jesus, this one thing I do, forgetting the things that are before behind me and reaching forth for the things that are before me, I press, I press, I press in prayer. I press as I study the word, as I continue learning, I press. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' marvelous name we pray. There's anything I want to leave with you, my beloved people. There is more. Therefore, I press. Every time you feel complacent, every time pride wants to overtake you in the presence of undeniable results, I pray that the Holy Ghost will ring my voice in your ears again, and may you hear this servant of God speaking to you. Because there is more. While we celebrate you for where you are, press. You must press. Hallelujah. Give Jesus a big hand clap. We are those who will not be satisfied with where we are. Not because we are failing. We are succeeding greatly, mightily. But we press. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. This is our final time together for now in US. And for those of you who are connected, we're honored to be hosting Koinonia from the US this time around. Last week it was in Canada. But we cannot end any Koinonia service without giving someone an opportunity to come to Jesus. Perhaps you were at Sound of Revival, you participated fully, or you missed Sound of Revival and just came to church tonight, and you're saying, Apostle, on hearing you speak, honestly, I'm greatly convicted, impacted by your word, and I do not want you to end this service without giving me an opportunity to come to Jesus. Remember, the formula is looking unto Jesus. So when we press towards him, not it. Him. He's the one who defines the it. We press towards him. When he calls us, he says, follow me, not follow it. Vision is not Jesus. But when you follow Jesus, you will find vision. So to a brother, a sister, a mother, a father, a husband, a wife, a believer or an unbeliever, regardless, whether here on site or those online across our expressions in Abuja, you are saying, Apostle, would you lead me to this Jesus? I love the way you speak so boldly about him. I want to have that richness of relationship. This is why we came, and this is why he sent you. I'll count 1 to 5. You truly honor Jesus and you want to have a functional relationship. We're going to celebrate you wherever you are. As I count 1 to 5, please very boldly, like you are coming to receive an award, I'd like you to leave your seat and come stand before me. Go ahead. I want more of you. God bless you, darling. Come. Come, everybody. I want more of you, Jesus. The more I know you, the more I want to know you. Keep clapping. Jesus, more of you. I want more of you. You don't have to kneel, you can stand. Come, keep coming. I want more of you. Leave her, let her be. The more I know you, the more I want to know you. Jesus, more of you. Jesus, more of you. Jesus, more of you. Can you sing that line of the song? Jesus, more of you. That's our desire, that's our prayer. Jesus, more of you. Who is still coming? Who is ready to win that war finally? Who is not ashamed of Jesus? Who is ready to leave all behind? It's quite a distance from where you are, but you can still come. It's our final moments together. Don't miss out on this. We're talking Jesus, the lover of your soul, the one who left all for you. Thank you. What a harvest again. Let's give Jesus a big hand clap. Jesus, more of you. Let me speak to those who are following by way of television or following through the internet. It pays to know Jesus.
It pays to love Jesus and it pays to live for Jesus. You've given things of lesser value, your time, your energy, the investment of your attention. I'm calling on you tonight, or whatever time it is in your nation, don't try Jesus. Give him all. He loves you enough to keep that which is committed unto him against that day. My Bible, your Bible says, for God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son. It says that whosoever believeth on him, it's a law that such a person should not perish, but have life everlasting. Now that you have come, I assure you by the integrity of God's word that you are about to step from darkness to light. Hallelujah. Please lift your right hand for those of you who are here in front and those of you who came out from Abuja and across all our expressions. I'm sure that those who are in Abuja are already in front of the stage. We call people out so that it helps to confirm their surrender. But say this as loud and as clear as you are able to. Some of you are crying. It doesn't matter how hot, it doesn't matter how wounded, it doesn't matter how defeated. I assure you, in Christ, you can start again. I like that word, again. It's a beautiful word. It's a word of hope, again. With your hands lifted to Jesus, say this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, tonight I have heard your word. I love you with all my heart. I believe you are the Son of God. Say, I believe you died for my sin. Say, I believe you rose again for my justification. Right now, I receive you into my heart. Be my Lord, my Savior, and my King. I declare that the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over my life. Say, from today, I am a child of God, and I go from glory to glory. Amen. With your hands still lifted, I pray for you. I decree and declare by the power of the Holy Spirit and upon your profession of the Lordship of Jesus, let the grace to walk in the newness of life be released upon you. I speak over your life and I declare that the past is over. Welcome to a new season. In Jesus' marvelous name we pray. Let the church shout a loud believing amen. Now, for the final time, I'd like you to look at an official lifting up a gift pack. When we get people saved by grace, we give them a gift pack. This pack contains materials. It's a gift from Jesus through us to you to help start your journey in Christ. So please do receive it as the counselors give it to you. It's with love from our hearts to you. And then I'd request that you move to my right. That will be your left. There are counselors who have been trained to receive you. They'll pray with you, just give you a few information, and then you'll be back to your seat. For those of you who got born again online, there is a QR code that will be given to you. Please make sure that you copy, scan that QR code, fill it legibly, and let's know that you made Jesus Lord of your life. There'll be officials who will follow up on you. The Lord bless you all in Jesus' name. I love you with all my heart. Welcome home and congratulations. Please, you move to my right. That will be your left from where you are. Let's celebrate them as they come. I love you too. God bless you. Thank you. Come on, give them a big God bless you. Koinonia US, is this how you celebrate salvation? Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you. Please do cooperate with them. You'll not be for long. You'll not be for long, just for a minute or two, and then you're back to your seat. Hallelujah.
Throughout the endless ages, you will be crowned with praises, Lord, Most High. Exalted in every nation, sovereign of all creation, Lord, Most High, be magnified.
We'll sing it just one time.
throughout the endless ages. You will be crowned with praises, Lord, Most High. Exalted in every nation, sovereign of all creation, Lord, Most High, be magnified.
U.S., for one final time for this year, I believe, thank you very much. Thank you for receiving us. Thank you for helping us host the Sound of Revival here in Atlanta, Georgia. We are truly grateful for all of you who made the time to come. Some of you have been around since Tuesday up until now. We are deeply grateful. Can we tell our global family following online, God bless you. Come on, give them a big hand of praise and tell them, God bless you. Hallelujah. Reverend Edward, thank you so much. God bless you. God bless you to you and your wife. Thank you. It's an honor. Let's give him a big God bless you. Hallelujah. Amen. The service will be ending now, and I feel so emotional as I stand here. Unfortunately, I don't cry easily. I wish I did, so that I just cry for you to see how serious this thing is. When you connect with family after a long time, I did leave you a promise that by God's grace, won't take this long before we come again. Hallelujah. This year, Koinonia US, forgive me, forgive us. It's sad that this is our first meeting together for this year, and sadly I think it would be the last for now, but we promise you there's a lot that is going. Oh, by the way, for those of you who have not connected to our platforms, particularly our global WhatsApp channel, media, can you do that for me before I speak over God's people? Beautiful. So you can put up your phones. Please connect. We are building a global and a regional community, and you are free, you are at liberty to be part of it. Make sure you connect, and then connect with all our social media platforms so that you receive our updates, you receive our words. Sound of Revival has come to an end. Next up will be November, and that will be our annual prophetic convergence, the General Assembly. Hallelujah. And this year we're looking at more than conquerors. It'll be a great time from the 18th to the 22nd of November. Those of you who are able to make it, all roads go to Nigeria, Abuja. And those of you who are not able to come, you are at liberty to stream. Would be live all through the sessions. It will be a glorious time in God's presence, in Jesus' name. Would you lift your hands as I speak the blessing upon you? Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. The media has just reminded me. I asked them to remind me to speak a prayer against the spirit of addiction. Can I take 1 minute to pray that prayer? So we had a conversation yesterday, and I was so touched by the cases of addiction, drugs, whatever it is. And let me just speak that prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray over America, the families in America, every child, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl who has been bound by the spirit of addiction, addiction expressed in various forms, various vices. By the power that raised Christ from the dead, we declare the spirit behind these addictive practices. We command that spirit departs the children now. We decree and declare you are free from that influence. You are free from that spirit. Let the yoke of addiction break now. Let the yoke of addiction break now. Let the yoke of addiction break now. We send this word to every home. We send this word to our rehab centers. We send this word to hospitals. We send this word to psychiatric wards. Everyone who's been a victim of the effect of addiction, addiction to drugs, to vices, all kinds of things, in the name of Jesus, we declare your freedom. Be free now. Be free now. He who the Son sets free is free. Therefore, we declare, not only to America, but across the airwaves, to the nations of the earth, every child, every boy, every girl, every man, everyone who is bound by the spirit of addiction, we release you right now in Jesus' name. We release you right now in Jesus' name. And with your hands still lifted, I speak over you.
May your week be the best week ever in the name of Jesus. I decree and declare the lines fall for you in pleasant places. You have a goodly reward in the name of Jesus. I declare over your life fresh fire upon your altar. Prayer fire upon your altar. Fresh passion for the study of the word in the name of Jesus. I decree and declare from Sunday to Sunday, experience favor. Favor in the morning, favor in the afternoon, favor in the evening, favor in the night, in the name of Jesus. I pray for you and your entire household. Let it be testimony after testimony this week. Breakthrough after breakthrough this week. Lifting after lifting this week. In the name of Jesus. Listen, to those who have the faith to receive, I decree and declare, congratulations. It will come as emails. Congratulations. It will come as phone calls. Congratulations. It will come as knocks on your door. Congratulations. In the name of Jesus. To everyone who is sick, here or across the airwaves, we bring you life and we bring you healing right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. To those trusting God for jobs, let this week bring pleasant surprises to your home. To those trusting God to sort out the issues of your paper, your green card, whatever it is, in the name of Jesus, we declare you have your testimonies. You will not die before your time. The Lord defends and protects you. In the name of Jesus Christ, victory to victory. Victory to victory. Triumph to triumph. By the Spirit of the living God, I place a mark of favor upon your head. It is favor all the way. I place a mark of honor on your head. It is honor all the way. The works of your hands, I declare them blessed. Your businesses, I declare them blessed. Your children, I declare them blessed. Your going out is blessed. Your coming in is blessed. Koinonia US, you are blessed in the name of Jesus. Koinonia Global, you are blessed in the name of Jesus. Are you ready to shout amen? We'll shout amen 7 times, then we'll share the grace and we're done. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Hallelujah. Together, let's share the grace in fellowship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit, let it rest and abide with us now and forever. Amen. Surely, goodness and mercies follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever in the name of Jesus. US, I love you. Thank you so much. See you when we see next.